is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Uh-huh. Literally. Hey, good going, guys. Got your headphones on. Everybody's ready to rock and roll.
Ready. Yeah, we're all here. All the faces.
We do have an O'Reilly moment.
Oh, good.
Bill O'Reilly, and I've not heard this yet, just handed this by Johnny. Bill O'Reilly moment. Here's today's moment. A message to Vice President Dick Cheney. Mm-hmm. Hey, Dick, you're a moron.
Wow.
All right. Or, you know, perhaps another, or perhaps he was talking to another fellow with that name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, good.
Or perhaps he was using it like Spicoli in Fast Times at Ridgemont.
You never know, but
hey, Dick, you're a moron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he said it.
There's
we have it.
There's the Bill O'Reilly moment. No, that's good.
Don't break it.
You're a moron. All right, stop it. My name's not Dick. Just stop it, please.
Thank you, Bill.
Respectfully.
Yes.
Leonard Goldberg has passed.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Leonard Goldberg, a.k.a.
Tony Randall.
T.R.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. L.G., also known as T.R. Mm-hmm. That's too bad. Tony
also,
Randall.
I hate to say this, but also known as F.U.
Oh, yeah, right, Felix Unger.
Sure,
thank you. Yeah. Maybe the most famous F.U. of all time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. To a much lesser extent, L.S.
Love Sydney.
Love Sydney, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. T.F., TV faggot.
That's right. The first openly one.
F.T.F., first TV faggot. Tony Randall, excuse
84 years young.
Yeah. Leonard Goldberg was always, on this show for a while at least, our celebrity in a bottle.
Yeah.
You know, before and during mm-hmm. Al Molinaro and the era of Dick Van Patten.
Right.
We really got in a hole.
We could get Randall. We got Randall on his line one day where we just called his house.
And a lot of times we would be happy just when he would say hello, and we'd say hi, and we'd say, what do you want to do? He'd say, I want to hang up on you.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, he wouldn't even say that. He'd say, hello.
Click.
Yeah.
He
was gruff.
Wouldn't we have called
Tony, this is Don and Mike. Well, hello.
Click.
Gruff but lovable.
Yeah, and he knew we were calling. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there's another one going.
Yes, Tony Randall regrettably has left.
Oh, what will his young, beautiful, rich, blonde wife do?
And now, Buzz, you always have a unique slant to make me feel a little better about something.
Yeah.
And now, in a very phony and symbolic way, Rob will actually take his Rolodex out and will cut through the name Leonard Goldberg, also known as Tony Randall.
You ready?
I was born ready.
Yeah, it's no longer in the book.
There you go. You happy now?
Yes, yeah, right. That's between Ritz Carlton and Rosie O'Donnell, there's an empty spot.
There you go.
T.R.
You happy now? There you go.
I would have just changed the listing to the Widow Randall.
Farewell, Tony.
Happy's not the word.
Though. Enjoy your trip.
Bye, Lenny. He's too bad. It's too bad. He's a good guy.
L.G.
funny man.
Also Ryan Seacrest. Out!
Seacrest! Out!
He's dead? Out of a job.
Oh.
His TV show got canceled. And I'm wondering the girl with kaleidoscope eyes, the girl that won the trip to go out there.
Hadn't she already been out there?
Well, they'll probably shoot a few more, right?
I think she was going out this week.
Hmm.
Was it this week she was going out?
Well, the tickets.
And she was going to say hello to Ryan from his gay fans, Don and Mike.
Exactly.
Big gay fans, Don and Mike. Anyway, I don't know if that TV show will be on or not.
When did they make the announcement of the cancellation?
Well, Mike, fortunately, I'm on idleonfox.com, so I get the alerts.
Right, right.
On my computer, like the weather alerts.
Oh, no, it's an alert. They've canceled the Ryan Seacrest show.
No, I don't know. I read it on some site today. I read it on CNN today.
Well, maybe a little too much on his plate.
Well, now he can concentrate on being a DJ. Mm-hmm. And, boy, if not today, tomorrow, those tapes will arrive from my friend out there.
Seacrest show.
Who has been taping the Ryan Seacrest.
Seacrest who replaced Rigdon.
DJ show, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he took the place of Rigdon D's. Before we start the show, what's up around this radio station, WJFK FM?
You mean Playland?
Now, before we get into this,
yes.
Did I tell you whose brainchild that piece of signage was?
I believe you did, and I was kind of surprised. That doesn't strike me as the type of individual that would normally provide that kind of graphic design.
Okay, we work in just an armpit of a building. From the outside, it looks nice.
Mm-hmm. Looks very modern and very high tech.
And even when you walk into the outer offices, we now have a what is that? It's almost like when you go to church and you kneel down.
We have a pew.
A
prayer bench.
We have
a prayer bench in front of that serves. Literally, no functional reason.
As you walk into
the radio station, no purpose.
Right. Colette is sitting behind the bulletproof glass, and
I took the liberty of sitting on it, giving Colette much joy as I sat with my head really almost back of my head resting on her little window
countertop.
So picture this: you walk into this office, like a doctor's office or a dentist's office. There's a woman or a guy. In this case, it's Colette. She's all woman. Trust me.
She is sitting
behind the window, and she opens the window, and then where you stand and you look down at her, and she's got all the phones and stuff in front of you. There's like this little
bench. What's its purpose?
Like a kneeling bench.
It's like from My Little Pony or something.
Did anybody explain to Colette what that was for? Did anybody tell her what they're going to use it for?
And that's not even the nutty thing we want to talk about at this radio station. the prayer bench that we have in front of
us. But we might need to also talk to Fulman.
Hello?
Hey, Colette?
Yes?
Hey, it's us.
Hi.
Who put that prayer bench outside your window?
I'm not sure.
Okay, oh, come on, Colette.
I'm not sure who put it up.
Oh, come on. You know who put it there.
Who?
What do you think it's there for?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Did anybody explain it to you?
No.
Isn't it?
Who do you think put it there?
Julie.
It's a good guess, I think. Yeah.
Probably Julie. Julie does all the decorating.
She does the decorating around here.
She got that functional lamp out there.
Yeah.
Rubs off a lot of light.
Yes. There's like a bizarre...
Yeah, but at least the lamp is decorative.
There's some color.
And therefore it would have a function.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe
the prayer bench
is either decorative or functional.
Has anyone knelt there, Colette?
I did.
Did you?
In fact, I knelt there and crossed myself.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
Did you like that psych gag, Colette?
Yeah.
Has anybody else commented on the prayer bench to you?
Yeah, everyone has.
And what do they say? Yeah. They say it's fantastic?
No.
Okay.
We got to find out what the mission was for that.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Colette.
You're welcome.
Bye, baby.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Colette, everybody.
Yeah.
Director of First Impressions.
That's right.
Bring me off a piece of that. Amy.
Yes, Donovan.
Hi. Oh, it's Amy, the girl who's going to be on the Ryan Seacrest show.
Oh, maybe she has been already.
I'm still going.
Uh-huh. Oh, even though the show's canceled?
I'm flying out tomorrow, and I'm going to the show on Thursday.
So these are the last shows of Ryan Seacrest.
That's right.
Wow, you're a part of something history.
Did they call you to reassure you?
Yes, they called me yesterday.
And did they say, we're real sorry that his TV show's been canceled, but the good news is you're still coming out?
No, they just told me it was going to be earlier in the day than originally planned.
Got to pack up furniture.
This is exciting for Amy. This makes her like the Bette Midler to the Tonight Show.
Yeah,
she's one of the last guests.
Right. One of the final ones.
What did they say to you exactly, Amy?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Just that I should be there at 9:45 instead of 10:30.
Did they say anything about the cancellation?
No, they just told me to have a wonderful time.
Oh. Have a wonderful time on this canceled show.
Maybe they didn't even know yesterday.
Sing Wind Beneath My Wings for him.
All right, Amy. Well, listen, Godspeed, Amy. And again, what are you going to say to Ryan Seacrest?
Gay Don and Mike love you.
Gay Don and Mike love you. Right. Okay, thanks, Amy.
Bye, Don and Mike.
Bye-bye. Bye, honey. Thank you.
She's good people.
And with that,
hey now.
There you go.
We better start the show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That's right. Hold on a second. Hi, Julia. Hi, uncles.
Keep your space between you and them, Julia.
Say uncle. Come on. Say it. Says hello.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
That's my daughter.
I know that's your daughter.
Hello.
Good girl. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Rock Hard Ken.
Yeah.
And all the ships at sea. I know you think I'm going to say something about the Widow Randall.
Yes.
But I won't.
All right.
You've enjoyed their image as Like'em Cookies. Now enjoy the good sound of Todd Geronimo. And there he is, the sweet smelling Mike O'Mara.
All right.
Yeah.
Forgot about your VO. Thanks for reminding me of Tom. Todd and Mike show. Thank you for listening to me. Look how mad Mike is at Rob.
Okay. Filed. Duly noted. Note to self.
Don and Mike show. New episode on this Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Come on, Tuesday. 05. 1804.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
That's right. 4 months to my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing it out there. It's never too early. Never too early.
1 month and 3 days to my birthday. 4 days. Very good.
Okay, but that's like, you got to do it when it's a month before. And when, once you get into the 30-day period before.
Your birthday is September 18th. You said you want a nice even number.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just getting my bearings.
Like a month.
After the whole B.O. thing.
Hey,
which is a lie.
I was not even going to mention it.
Well, he brought it up. Because he wanted it brought up.
But did
and
I
you
not?
You are on my list,
I,
pal.
Stop. Did
you
I
are
not
on
in,
my
the,
list.
In the office, did I not tell you I got uncomfortably close to your underarm?
I checked. I walked in and Don said he smelled B.O. and I said I have no B.O. smell,
fellas,
and I don't have B.O. smell.
Fellas, this nose.
Smelling.
This nose don't lie.
No, I would
Mike,
be willing.
Mike,
I would be willing. Anyone you would bring in here, I would be willing to have smell me.
I find it manly.
How about your hand? How about your right hand?
What do you mean?
Have someone come in and smell your right hand. Don't
Absolutely.
Do anything with it.
Okay, right now.
Because you remember what you did with that hand?
Yes, I was checking my pits
no,
and
you
I
remember?
Checked my crotch.
Oh. You vigorously checked down there.
Smell my hand.
Listen, here's the
smell
thing.
Smell my fingers.
No, and I didn't mean anything by this. Mike walked
No, it's no, it doesn't mean anything when you walk into the studio and the
no,
first
no,
words
the
out of your mouth were, I smell B.O.
It was in the office.
And I've never had B.O.
I just
Unless
said,
maybe I've played a hockey game.
I said, something like that. When you walked by, I didn't say,
yeah, what
have
you said
You said B.O. Yeah, but not
you
right away.
You said B.O. in a minute.
But not right away.
And then I went over to caress your head.
Oh, God.
Getting
this
my pit as close as possible.
This is the gayest, the grossest thing.
But because I wanted to prove to you that
I'm
it was
sitting,
not coming from me.
I'm sitting at the desk. Mike has just walked by. And I mentioned, you know, okay, there's an odor. There's something there.
I have not only showered. I have not only put on deodorant. I have not only put on cologne. But I am wearing a fresh O'Mara's Restaurant and Pay
oh,
T-shirt.
Look around, cafe.
You whore.
And
thank you.
That
I'm proud
game worn jersey.
What's that?
That game worn jersey.
It's game worn now, Rob.
It will be on sale. And you came over, and as I said,
yes.
Not a trace of odor.
I know.
I am a visionary.
He's kissing
yes.
sweet, ladies and
yes,
gentlemen.
Three. It is fresh.
Listen, the nose don't lie. The nose don't lie. You walked by. I smelled something.
Right.
I smelled something, and you asked me to identify the smell, and I said, without a doubt, it's the smell of. Locker room.
No,
no.
Flash.
No,
I disagree.
Not true. Not even a hint of it.
B.O.
I'm willing to take the test.
Interesting.
Bring them forward.
There's
bring
no,
all the noses in here you want.
There's
and
no
they don't
need
to smell my pits. They
there's
can just
no
smell me.
Mike, there's no need because now, let's be honest, we've not spent every second together.
Right.
How do I know that you've not gone and given yourself a quick Elvis shower?
I did no such thing.
My nose knows what my nose knows.
Yes, and I do not have body odor.
I'm telling you, I smelled something.
Hmm. Well, it wasn't me. It might have been your breath blowing back in your face.
Oh. No, my friend. I know that smell. And the smell that I smelled was not that smell.
And I would like to... I challenge
you.
Nose.
You know what that is?
There
can I just... Geniusy. sexy. That's what that breath is. No, listen, I know how offensive my breath is.
No, I didn't smell your breath.
But I'm telling you, I know how offensive it is.
I, you know, I rarely have ever complained about your breath.
But I'm telling you, I know it's offensive. I work on it.
I have never. I have really, I don't think we get kissing close.
No.
But I know I got the bad breath.
I've never really experienced
I've
the
never
bad breath.
Detected it.
And I would not have mentioned it to you if I really hadn't smelled something.
Yeah, well, it wasn't B.O., though.
Okay.
Because I have cologne on, and I'm freshly bathed.
I wasn't even going to mention it on the air.
Well, Rob brought it up.
I said you smelled good.
You did not. Rob actually confirmed the fact that I do not have B.O.
He just wanted us to fight in front of a reporter, didn't you?
That's what he wanted.
That's all you wanted.
That's what he loved.
You love it when we fight,
he
Rob.
He enjoys it.
You love it when we
first,
fight.
That's my first greeting.
Yeah.
My first
what
greeting.
What kind of a hello is that?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
No kidding. You know, one day I get here on time. You know, one day I'm punctual. You know, not early, not late, punctual.
Right on time.
Right on time.
Punctual. Merry Christmas.
And I should mention, worse than that smell, and I give it, if everybody
worse
else...
Worse than that smell.
Oh, hold on.
What's worse than Mike?
Hold on. Worse than that smell.
Yes.
Because it was a fleeting smell that went in and out of my nostrils, and
right.
I'll give you that, okay, you know, maybe it was just something that came in with you as you walked through the lobby. And
I know what I think it is. It's an unusual smell. It is a brand new shirt, and it smells new.
However, this is undeniable.
It's not laundered. It's out of the box.
This is undeniable. And I'm sorry, Rob. This is going to be friendly fire. I have to go to you because you jumped right up to Mike when he started to say you sold him out.
Mm-hmm.
You bastard. I say that there's nothing grosser than watching your big Fred Flintstone feet as you take off your sandals to tell us why you have the best-made sandals in the world.
You know what?
Birkenstocks. Birkenstocks.
Mike has always said this, is that if you want to know something, is that I like my products.
Right.
And I will sell my products. And Mike bought some Beeline, you know, whatever. I'm sure they're fine.
These are Timberland.
Sandals.
These are perfectly
Timberland.
Good.
A solid
and
brand.
They're more modern than those Fred Flintstone shoes
sure,
you're wearing.
Modern
there.
Like a jetpack and almost as useful. Because look at this. This is a design. I want to show
don't
this.
Do it again.
Don't do it again.
Shut down the soles.
These are almost new.
Look at the toe imprint.
You know what size these are? These are a size 65 because they're German.
You know,
it's true. They start
when Rob took it off,
piece of pork.
I said, I swear to God, it looks like a corrective shoe. It's so big.
How many trees died?
The show is so big.
In a way,
it's
shoe.
It's made out of cork.
Right. And what they do is they carve out the proper shape for your foot.
Meanwhile,
can't wait for the weather to get mild.
Meanwhile, while he's saying this,
yes,
that big Fred Flintstone foot is just flopping all over the floor.
That's true. It does look a little like a ham, but if the foot was any smaller, I know I'd fall down all the time.
I remember when he got those. Remember those toes? When he came in with the things on his toes?
Oh, yeah.
The little bags. Toes look better now that you're getting them all shorn down.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
You know,
aren't they?
Very nice.
I'm no foot model or anything. But
these are brand new, these ones.
But this remains a great product, the Birkenstock. The
size. I see Mike's sandals now.
Now they're both taking their sandals off.
The style is.
And now they're both smelling their own shoes.
Well, these are brand new.
Why don't we just get the DVD box set of Will and Grace and have a party? We'll get you guys some princess phones. You can smell each other's shoes.
I was about to say this is a nice American made product, but I'm afraid I cannot say that.
Reading Rebel made in China.
You can lie to each other about the existence or non-existence of body odor as you smell each other's shoes, which says to me that perhaps. Maybe your sense of smell is a bit skewered.
No, I'm getting a good smell off this. Believe me, I can smell.
Skewed or skewered?
Okay, college guy. But you knew what I meant, didn't you?
Yeah, of course.
You knew what I meant.
Yes, and my sense of smell.
Skewed.
My olfactory senses are as sharp as anybody in this building.
Listen, don't bring olive into this,
smell,
okay?
I can smell.
Don't bring the late Olive Osmond into this, man.
I can smell anything. I have an incredible sense.
But you have on brand new sandals.
Rob's sandals are only about 2 weeks old. I re-upped this year. I went to my good friends and I said, I need another pair of size 65 Arizonas.
Do you know something he told me that he's going to, on Friday? He said to me, what are you doing?
I can't believe how good I smell. And I haven't freshened up.
He can't stop smelling himself.
This is really my smell out of the car.
If you could die, you'd come back as you right now.
Right.
Because you smell so good.
And I apologize.
I would love you to bring someone to me to smell me.
I'm sure you smell okay.
But you know, can I say something? And the reason I'm reacting to this?
Yes.
It's not just a lack of B.O. I smell so good. I smell as good as I smelled the other day.
Rob, go grab somebody. Thank you. Please.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. The other day, we were discussing odor. I wanted someone to smell me then.
You know what? You know what he said to me the other day, Robbie, as he goes to get someone to smell you?
Yes.
He was all excited. So what are you going to do this weekend? He said, well, I'm going to the wide shoe store.
Yeah.
Store. Just
shoe specially designed.
Hey, Dennis Murphy.
Dennis Murphy.
Yeah, but Dennis, I don't trust you. I know you're credible, and you're going to tell the truth, but I wanted somebody.
All right, here we go. Smell.
Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Don.
Hold on. Step up to the microphone, Dennis.
Okay, here you go.
Now, listen, please.
Right.
Mike, let him put his whole mouth area, nose area, your armpit.
Oh, I smell cologne.
Thank you.
Now, would you smell Mike's right hand? Smell the fingers. Dennis?
It smells good.
Dennis, smell the fingers.
Dennis is sweating.
Smell Mike's fingers.
I don't want to get my fingers out.
It smells good. It smells good.
I saw where those fingers were about 25 minutes ago.
So did I.
Would you like to get anyone else?
No.
Because it is Dennis.
Okay, all right, no. I give. Uncle, okay?
Dennis.
Uncle.
And Dennis, besides, Dennis just came from the bathroom.
Dennis is curious if he should leave or if he should sit.
He should have a seat, Dennis.
Okay.
Welcome, Dennis
have
Murphy.
Welcome to the show. We're jam-packed today. Oh, besides Dennis Murphy, also coming by, funny man, and he really is, Frank Caliendo.
Man,
from
Mad
TV.
You know, I said this before. I think this guy is the best in the business.
So anyway,
as far as impressionists go, and I mean the best in a long, long time.
He's good on Mad TV. He's good on that NFL show with those guys. Hold on, here's for you, Mike. Jeremy.
Yes.
Jeremy, hello. You're on the air.
Hey, I've got a question for you, Mike. Where did you eat today?
Where did I eat today?
Yeah.
I ate at home.
A lot of times, go out to eat. You can come back smelling like a stinking rotten armpit, and you may be being falsely accused.
No, there is no false accusation here. It's simply
all right, then.
Simply an error.
What kind of restaurant would that happen in?
An error.
No, I don't want to be the restaurant tied in. Goodbye, sir. Well, thank you for the help, Buzz. But
you know, you're wearing
a T-shirt. I'm wearing
O'Mara's restaurant and pub
in Lovely Bone. And that's the color. It's a bone T-shirt.
You should change it.
We have them in bone and green.
How about this? You come out with a new line of shirts. Be O'Mara's.
Okay. Jeez. Wow.
It smells like chicken.
Really?
Yeah.
The shirt smells like chicken?
No, your fingers.
Your fingers smell
chicken
you're smelling.
No. Right.
Shut up, Dennis. State's witness might be turning over to the other side.
Of course, I knew he would anyway.
That's
You know.
But chicken fingers.
Okay, Dennis.
Okay, Mike.
Right. Okay, Dennis. All right, so thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, Jeremy. Goodbye.
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 Goodbye, Jeremy. So here he is, Dennis Murphy, everybody.
Yes.
Remind me, we want to talk about the WJFK Players Club.
Yeah.
This is something even weirder than the prayer bench.
Thank you for giving me a tour earlier.
Even weirder than the prayer bench out front, the receptionist area.
But it's more evidence that this place is going insane.
Yeah. I mean, not only are our prices insane, but seriously, everybody that works here is going in freaking sane.
Absolutely.
And what is Julie's number? I'd like that.
Number one.
What's her number on the book? Come on.
Yeah, because I want to ask
four,
about
five, one.
The prayer bench.
One? Okay. Let's just check out.
Why is there a prayer bench outside?
Julie Fullman is the sales manager and the director of all things that are
Barbie-related.
Yes. Thank you, Buzz. Barbie-related.
Let's find out. Is she in the building?
Has she still got her car parked that crazy way, Buzz?
No, she straightened that out as soon as she got back into town.
When she got back from the decorator store?
Julie, I can't get to the phone right now. Please leave a message in your number.
Dennis, ask her what's up with the prayer bench.
I'll record your message at the tone. When you're finished, hang up or stay on the line for further options.
Hi, Julie.
Start now.
You wait for the beep.
Hi, Julie. This is Dennis. What's up with the prayer bench? God and light will let you know.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well done.
Say thank you. Say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you'd like to add to your message, enter 1. To listen to it, 2. To re-record.
Here we go.
Start now. You wait for the beep.
Hi, Julie. This is Dennis. What's up with the prayer bank? Don and Mike will let you know.
Well done.
Say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You idiot.
If you'd like to add to your message, enter 1.
No need.
To listen to it,
I just 2. Did. Just
to re-record,
it.
Enter pound.
No, just send it. Send it.
Pound.
Send it. Pound. Pound?
Yeah.
You've reached the WJFK business office.
Thanks, Smarty Jones. So anyway, I'm sure the message is there.
Yeah, and we'd like to find out because there's no real reason for it.
So remind me, the Players Club is even nuttier than the prayer bed.
Players Club, right? Baby.
But Dennis Murphy is here because he has a partial report on what happened when he went out to California to be on Spike TV's...
Right.
What's the name of the show, Dennis?
Polish 04 Skunk Awards Show.
What?
The what?
Polish. 04.
Taurus.
Yeah.
04
okay.
Stunt Awards.
Taurus Stunt Award.
Yeah. Taurus 04 Stunt Award Show.
The Taurus 04 Stunt Award Show.
Yeah.
Very good.
Black TV. Okay.
So you represented the Don and Mike Show at this nationwide deal. They had a lot of DJs out there.
It had DJs, it had television, and it had a lot of foreign press too. Like Germans, Belgians, Africans. There was a whole bunch of foreign Plexco.
Now, I bet that there were a lot of DJs who got this invitation. They wanted Mike and I to come out there and participate in whatever, like the where you tie two legs together and
do an interview with Kevin Nealon.
Yeah, and then you're pretending that you're driving.
Bill Paxton.
You pretend that you're driving and you put like through some fake stunt school. Were there a lot of jive DJs that were into that?
Of course, a lot of jive DJs. I was the only normal guy there.
The only normal guy. Did you hang out with the DJs?
Say that again.
I hang out with the DJs. They look good. I met the BUS disc jockey who carries the show in Buffalo.
The Buffalo disc jockey?
His name is JR. I met him. I met this beautiful lady from Chicago.
That almost might require a replay with
isolation
with Dennis saying I meant this. I've never heard you react quite that way.
Yeah,
it's a combination of excitement, sexual excitement,
like a
radio excitement. He's sweating a lot.
Bull.
He's got a lot of saliva coming out. It's the excitement of the award snow that he was just at.
Oh man, I fell asleep in the middle of the award show.
Really?
The
award
snow.
Right in the middle of it.
You got it, Rob.
All right.
Hold on one sec.
Oh, we got to do it on CD?
Yeah, because that's...
Sorry, I shouldn't have brought it up. Don't worry about it.
Anyway, Dennis.
Yeah.
Dennis, so when you're out there with these other DJs... Oh, you got it? Here it is. Okay.
Belgians, Africans, there was a whole bunch of foreign press there.
Now, I bet that there were a lot of DJs who got this invitation. They wanted Mike and I to come out there.
Right.
Where's
the spot?
Through some fake stunt school. Were there a lot of jive DJs that were into that?
Of course. A lot of jive DJs. I was the only normal guy there.
Here we go. Normal guy. Did you hang out with the DJs? Let's stop that for a second. Let's apologize to from 92.9 WBUF, who I'm sure is more normal than Dennis. Oh.
Yes, of
He's a jive disc jockey, as we all are. But, sir, whoever you are.
Right.
Whoever you are. What's his name, Dennis?
J.R.
Mm-hmm. That's a good station in Buffalo, 92.9. You're a better person than Dennis Murphy, J.R.
Way to go.
Here we go.
I just didn't discuss that.
He wanted to get his feelings hurt.
He understands.
I think so.
JR understands?
Yeah.
Did he rap with you about Buffalo?
No, it was not. A longer for the show. For your show.
And you met a hot babe out there?
I met a hot Chicago babe.
Here you go. Here's where Dennis said
hang
out with the DJs.
Say that again.
I hang out with the DJs. They look good. I met the BUS. This jockey who carries the show.
Who's the part you wanted to hear?
His name is JR. I met this beautiful lady.
All right, back it up a little. That is worth it.
That's must have really been pretty.
I thought it might be.
Did play again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jockey who carries the show in Buffalo.
The Buffalo disc jockey?
Yeah. Okay. His name is JR. I met this beautiful lady from Chicago.
I met this beautiful lady. All right, one more time, please, Rob.
There were no words.
I met this beautiful lady.
The Buffalo disc jockey?
Yeah. Okay. His name is JR. I met this beautiful lady. And I'm not a scholar.
I met this beautiful lady.
Wow. Well, Dennis, you did communicate that she was hot by your explanation of her. So I met this
beautiful lady. So you met her, and what else happened?
I represented your show in a car race, and I was the last DJ to come in.
Yeah, you raced a car?
I raced a car.
Really?
Yeah, it was a go-kart.
Oh, right. A go-kart.
But it went up to 75 miles an hour.
Now, no offense. Didn't they give you, like, a handicap? But because you only have one arm, one hand?
Actually, what happened was they put me in the car, and the car would not go. So I could not have the benefit of driving around the track one time, getting the use
getting
of...
Getting the hang of it?
Yeah. And Next thing I know, 2 nights later, I had this major crash.
Oh, you crashed the go-kart?
Yeah. It took me like 10 seconds to, catch myself again.
Yeah.
And I did not complete the race.
So you crashed the car. How were the people from Spike TV? Were they okay that you crashed the car?
I didn't care. They just wanted to make sure I was okay. And,
but again, he didn't complete.
Did you have a good time in California?
Oh, yeah, it was a great time. Matter of fact, right after I got off the phone with you yesterday, I went to John Wayne's footprint and handprint. I put my stub on his handprint.
You put your stump in the Duke's handprint?
Yeah, and RJ has a picture of that. And
all right.
We'll get
Raymond,
that.
Wait a minute. Raymond was with you?
Yeah, Raymond was the sound guy and the picture guy for me.
Oh, Raymond traveled with you?
Yeah.
Butler. My butler went out there with you? Raymond called me a couple of weeks ago. Say hi for me, will you?
Okay. Hey, Raymond. Like say hi.
I mean, when you see him again, with effort.
Okay.
You put the
effort, Dennis.
You put your stump on John Wayne's
handprint.
The hyphen, Webster's Dictionary defines, is a symbol used to divide a compound word.
Yeah.
Or a single word.
Amen, brother.
It seems to me that when a man calls himself an Afro-American, a Mexican-American.
Hey, you Afro-American.
Italian-American. Irish-American.
Jewish-American. Hold on,
what he's saying is,
saying?
I'm a divided American.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you Irish-American.
Divided American.
Don, we all come from different...
Well, we all came from other places. Different creeds, different races.
What is it you like about John Wayne?
You know what? The first movie I went to see was... 9 years old, and I saw Hellfighters. And that was the first movie I saw in the theater.
So John Wayne was bigger than life for you.
Yeah, for me.
What?
You know, I love his acting ability. I love when he got smushed by those two crackers in Hellfighters.
It's a link to the golden age of Hollywood.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is he handsome?
Oh, he was handsome.
The harm a line has done. A simple little line, and yet
so
as divisive as a line can get.
A hyphen.
A crooked cross the Nazis flew, and the Russian hammer and sickle, too.
Oh, my God. Saturday, you know it by heart.
I couldn't know he was that racist. Oh.
Well, he's not really being racist, Dennis. I mean, he's talking about how we're divided as Americans.
What he's doing, he's saying what we all really think.
He's saying that we're Americans.
Isn't it true?
Same bomb a hyphen. In the lives of men.
You tell him, Johnny.
These could ever fan the flames of hatred. Faster than the hyphen.
The hyphen.
The hyphen.
The hyphen.
Dennis, how did you feel when you first found out John Wayne was gay?
He was gay? I didn't know that.
Hey, all you Afro-Americans, all you Jewish-Americans, all you Catholic Americans, Irish-Americans.
Right.
We have to break.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis,
yeah.
Let's see, you're back. Now, what about the tape recorder that we sent you with? When will you have that presentation ready?
RJ will drop it off tomorrow.
All right, so how about let's see you in a couple of days.
Okay.
With your tapes.
Okay.
And who did you get to tape? Did you tape anybody famous when you were out there?
Gone. Right. There was no brother who walked out. But Burt Reynolds walked by with his son Quentin, but...
Burt Reynolds?
Yeah, Burt Reynolds.
That's a big star.
And he snubbed us. You know, that's but. And also, Sarah Michelle Gellar walked by, and she snubbed us also.
She snubbed you?
So, yeah.
What are the tapes of?
The red carpet with Rob Paxton, Kevin Nealon.
Bill Paxton, you mean?
Bill Paxton.
Yeah, right. And Kevin Nealon. And then
Christina Loca for T3.
What? Come
Christina
again?
The babe from T3.
Terminator 3.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, we'll get that tape. I'm glad you had a good time. So you did not make it on to the final cut for Spike TV?
But we won't know until May 26th.
Oh, okay, so we'll know soon, though.
Yeah.
I think we know.
But what do you think, Dennis? You crashed the car against the other DJs. What do you think?
I'm right. Who knows?
You mean, did you see any cameras around you at all?
There were cameras, but only...
Any of them pointed at you?
No.
Well, that would answer the question.
Who's going to take a picture of me?
Well, I think you're a novelty act.
You're a handsome novelty act.
You were there.
And I was wearing a Hawaiian shirt and nice pants.
And Mike, what I said to you about B.O. before, after being in the studio with Dennis for about 10 minutes, can I say something, Mike?
Yes.
I humbly, and I mean this,
I apologize. Thank you very
Whatever
much.
Whatever it is that I smelled, you had to be that fresh new, freshly printed O'Meara's Pub t-shirt that you're wearing.
Yes.
Because now I am sitting in front of B.O. Inventive. He is a sweat machine.
He produces a lot of sweat.
I don't want to smell your armpits. I smell you from here.
No, you don't.
I do.
I took a shower 2 hours ago.
Dennis, can you feel right here on your face? Can you feel this other side? Other side. Over here.
John, in fairness to Dennis, that might not be coming from the pits. It might be coming from the breath.
No.
No, but I'm saying look at all the sweat on his face.
He's got a lot of sweat, but you know, if you did a breath check on Dennis, I got it when he was smelling me. Your breath is rotten.
Come on, let's...
I would be willing to, you know, if anybody wants to take the breath test.
Right, I got this guy over here. I was squigging, you know,
you like
mouthwash
on a breath
the whole
check?
Time.
No. Why did you get a hammer and hit me down there? Hit me as hard as you can.
Right.
No,
right.
I don't want to do that. Is there anybody that wants to, let's see, what about Joe or Alex? That's Alex.
Alex is a young broadcaster. It's kind of a hazing ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Alex has his own show now, right? It's on every night.
The Hideout.
11 o'clock on WJFK. Hey, Alex.
Alex, this is kind of an initiation rite for young broadcasters.
Who said it?
You did.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah, when you were talking about hit you down there.
Uh-huh. Oh,
with
right.
With a mallet.
Take a hammer.
Oh.
Hey, Alex, you're under no obligation here. Alex Jimenez, everybody.
Click, 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 click.
But we'd be impressed.
Would you smell Dennis's breath and just...
Hey, Alex, you know, he's got the gift of gab, but I do believe he may be speechless right now.
Hey, Alex.
Is this part of the mentoring project?
No, this is at your own, you know. Alex is back here. He's helping us out behind the scenes. Got his own show. Couldn't be prouder of him. Now smell Dennis's breath, please.
All right,
All right, go ahead, Dennis. Stand up and give him a breath check.
You're just going to...
Dennis, get up. Dennis,
stand up. And just breathe into Alex's nose.
Okay. He cringed.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, he cringed.
I ingested.
Okay, Alex.
Still making faces.
Okay. I ingested like hot, nasty.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you. Alex, help yourself to a bottle of that effing vodka up in the office.
Way to go. You got a bottle of vodka out of that.
Please,
there you go.
Thank
All right.
you. Thank
right.
you, Alex.
Thank,
thank
you.
Alex.
That's Hefe.
Good job.
So there you go. There's objective. Somebody objective.
Yeah, that was fair.
That poor guy.
You can win if you let us once and for all do the show where we hook up with a dentist, mm-hmm. and actually, you know, get those choppers fixed.
The only chopper that bad are the bottom three.
The bottom three?
No, that must be the source.
Try the bottom 10, the bottom 12, the bottom 17, the bottom 38.
The bottom 40.
Yeah.
The back 40. The rear 40.
Right.
But you know what?
We want to help you.
The password is Da Vinci Veneers.
Yes, it's like the swan.
I've been thinking about it, and I've been getting a lot of comments about, what's wrong with your bottom teeth?
I'm feeling that
I've got to do something, because maybe that's why.
Can't we make that happen,
right, Dennis?
I would think so. And you know, Dennis, you really want, if you're going to replace the bottom, you're going to want to replace the top, too.
The cock's so good, though. What is it?
No, don't want it to not match.
The top
looks like two different podcasts.
With a mallet.
You know what? Dog teeth. Your top teeth. Aren't they pointed?
No.
No, look at the top teeth. Look, Rob, 1, 2, 3, 4 from the right.
Look in there, Rob.
Look in there.
Yeah, they're not... perfect. And what we could do is we could get you perfect teeth.
I think if we get him a consult with a dentist, we can really get it done.
Yeah, I think so.
Get you some nice Regis Philbin.
Okay. Anything could improve my smile.
Right. Absolutely.
I can't smile.
Amen.
Anything could improve my...
When we finish with you, you'll look like Tony Curtis.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Tony Curtis. That's fine.
Tony, right?
Now, that's a makeover. Dennis, congratulations on all you achieved when you were out in Hollywood. We look forward to hearing your tapes in a couple of days.
Thank you.
With you, with these celebrities, and... anybody you want to thank?
I'm not going to thank you.
No. The sponsor. Who's the sponsor?
I'm not going to thank Spike TV.
Spike TV.
And I'm not going to thank the Infinity Lady who...
The Infinity Lady who you don't remember?
Her name is Kara or Karen.
Kara or Kara.
Kara or Karen.
Yeah. And then and also I'm not going to thank... I'm not going to thank...
Let me just say this. Who's the guy in Buffalo that you mentioned?
JR.
JR. JR, you should be feeling real good about yourself right now. I mean that, dude. You should be feeling so good about yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, normally disc jockeys are made to feel like we are, we're one level below clowns.
Absolutely.
We're the lowest on the showbiz heap. So, JR, congratulations. You got a trip to Los Angeles. And guess what? You, unlike all the rest of us disc jockeys, you were not at the bottom of the barrel because we sent you, Dennis.
And I'm not going to cut Willie from letting me take his picture with him.
Chuck Willie, but you didn't get him on tape.
No. Well, but by the way, they know how to throw one hell of a Hollywood party.
A great Hollywood party. You went to the best one you've been to?
You can have all the food you want, all the strawberry ice cream you want.
All the strawberry ice cream.
Those stars.
And sunlight.
And sunlight and strawberry ice cream.
We were there for 6 hours. And
Christmas.
6 hours.
It was wonderful.
Now, on your fluctuating weight scale right now, where are you in your opinion? Are you up on the upper end or are you on the lower end?
I'm at 2.45, according to my digital scale.
What's your highest...
That's
Hello, Chuck Nullery. Chuck Nullery?
Chuck Wobbly.
Chuck Nullery?
Wobbly.
He got it. He's got that one.
Russian hammer built a wall.
No, we don't have to dump anything. No, he set off the alarm because he said the mallet word again.
No, guys. You know, see, it made me think that there was like a nasty word.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I hit the delay right away.
It's just that John Wayne said hammer, and that's why that...
By the way, Dennis, he wasn't really gay. It was just a joke.
Click.
He was straight.
Okay.
Straight John Wayne.
Pandemonium in here.
Liberty lies.
Can't you all?
Well, how do you know? It's up to you.
How much ice cream did you eat?
Used as a bridge, it can span all the differences of man. Being free in mind and soul should be our most important goal.
Then I had a gravy cookie. And then I had chicken fingers.
Mean.
And then I had around, it was crab and coke. I got two beers at a time.
And how many beers total do you think you had?
I had about 8 or 9.
And if they might find the world where they have peace of mind.
Me and a couple.
I'm still not.
How do you not love this man?
Perhaps you've all wondered what it might be like to go to hell. Perhaps you've done something in your life you thought, no, you know what? It's okay. Hell would be okay for this. Well, just imagine that. You're in a room and that's all you hear. Rob talking to Dennis about ice cream while John Wayne goes on about the hyphen.
Shoot me now.
Okay. Dennis, get out of here. We'll see you in a couple.
Thank you, Dennis.
DennisMurphy.com.
Of course.
One hand, one heart is still available.
That's
one
hand, CD. That's
one hand, one heart.
And I got you. Copy, Rob.
Oh, great. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Bye, Dennis. See you in a couple of days.
Bye,
Dennis. With the Hollywood celebrity.
Thank you, Dennis Murphy.
There he is back from Hollywood. We sent him out there. He's the emissary for our show at Spike TV. And
he made it here on time. Very good job.
Well, he's all about effort.
He is.
He did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, oh boy, does he stink. I'm sorry I said that about you, Mike.
Well, the Hefe got the little breath check there.
Wow. Poor Alex.
And Alex, thank you for that.
That was
sacrificing yourself for our show.
Because I don't believe Joe would have done it.
No.
I think Joe has enough tenure here that now...
There's no chance I don't need to do that anymore.
I wouldn't do that in a minute. Oh, yes, here's a plug for Dennis's album.
Oh, good.
One Hand, One Heart.
Love will keep us together.
Well, that's when he sang it with the girls.
Think of me, babe, whenever. Some sweet dog fingers of love. Sing it in the dark.
Oh, God. Secret. Out, please.
Secret.
Seacrest,
out.
Out. Shut up.
Out.
Stop it.
Seacrest, out.
Out.
You can still get that CD?
Yeah, it's available in stores.
Okay.
Rob has this copy that Dennis autographed for him.
There it is.
Oh, that's nice. He autographed it today.
Yeah,
Rob, I love you, and please enjoy One Hand, One Heart. Love, Dennis Murphy.
I forgot that Dennis's solo effort is not really a solo effort. It's
singing with a girl.
It's duets.
A girl from Iowa. God, man, we're late. Hold on. Stay there. What buzz?
Oh, it's just that we're late.
We got a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Sean Hannity. This is the first time I've ever called you, and I'm glad to be listening to you every day right after the Don and Mike show. And
thank
I
you.
Just think that you would make a perfect guest on their show.
Tell Don and Mike, anytime they want me, I'd be glad to come. Hello.
They can grow up to 3 feet long, walk on their fins, and live on land for several days, devouring other fish and birds and ducks. And they breed like crazy. Now there's possibly even thousands of fish in that pond. Line 4, Larry in Virginia, you're on the air with Drudge.
Matt Drudge, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
You know, I have a theory about these fish that can walk on land. You'll notice they went from New York City over to Maryland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can walk on their own, correct? Do you think it's more than a coincidence that perhaps maybe they walked all the way to Maryland because...
Oh, they hitchhiked down the 95?
They walked down 95
because
they can't hear Don and Mike on in New York City anymore.
There he goes. Yeah, classic.
Masters of the Taking Touch, Don and Mike.
All right, now we're back.
I can't stop feeling.
You know, yesterday, I don't think we devoted enough time. There's a couple of things here. Sopranos and Troy. Sopranos, did we spend enough time?
No, we didn't talk about it at all.
Yeah, really.
I was very briefly mentioning Tony's dream scene.
I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it.
As did I.
If I want Twin Peaks, and I didn't want Twin Peaks,
right?
No, I find it impossible not to sing along with the song. I just like the Ooga Shaka part.
Yeah.
Ooga Shaka. Ooga Shaka.
You're in love with me.
Oh, beautiful.
Strawberry ice cream.
What did you want? If I wanted that, I would watch Twin Peaks. If I wanted to see a movie that had, or a TV show that had a dream sequence that lasted something like, what was it, 30 minutes?
It was almost three-quarters of the show.
Yeah. And incidentally, it's very Larry Sanders-ish that the show, it's scheduled to be on for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
By my watch, it was over at 9:47.
And whenever I see this, I might have mentioned this yesterday, but I'm not sure. Whenever I see a show that's a dream sequence show, I think it's the producers really kind of coming up against a brick wall for ideas, mm-hmm. and they decide to slap this stuff together where it doesn't have to make sense because you really don't have to have a storyline.
And I understand both sides of the story, that on one hand, if you've watched The Sopranos for all 5 years,
mm-hmm.
then you knew who the characters were, and maybe you would get a chuckle out of it. If you didn't, I don't know what the hell you thought.
You know, as somebody who has watched that show forever, I still didn't track. I forgot who the guy was that was married to Annette Bening. I forgot that he was the cop.
That's the William Hurt that jumped off the bridge.
Right.
He was
right.
In the whorehouse with Tony.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and some of the guys in the car, you know, everybody remembers Big Pussy,
mm-hmm.
but as far as some of the other people, you know, it just was a little weird.
I don't know. It's not The Sopranos. It's mm-hmm. And even when they do the stuff where they try to show you that Tony has got all of these anger issues and why he has the issues, and I told you before, I think that they've dumbed that part down.
Right.
Where in the last couple of weeks, they made it so apparent
right.
you know, that even a tard would know, okay, Tony has problems from the way he was raised with his parents. But then in the next week, it's like someone went down the rabbit hole with Alice, and all of a sudden you got Tony driving around in a car, and you've got him in bed with Carmine. And
just this is on a mafia note, and all the stuff that I've read about the mafia and the movies I've seen. When you're going to do a mafia hit, when you're outside of the dream sequence, I don't think you you do it the way they do it. I don't think you actually just take a chance that nobody's going to be driving by on a regular public street, cause a fender bender, and then, in the middle of the street, strangle the guy. I don't think it happens like that. I think you take a guy...
Crime of passion, Mike. Maybe so. You know what I mean? Maybe.
But it wasn't. It was a hit. It was supposed to be a professional hit.
Strangle him, hit him, and shoot him.
Yeah, you hit him, you strangle him, you take the chance that he's going to, you know, go quietly into the trunk of that car. That didn't make a lot of sense to me. And in the early days of the Supreme...
Are you talking about that beautiful red car?
That beautiful red car with the big tire on the back.
Yeah,
it just seems to me that they were more true to the gangster stuff in the old days.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, it's a bit too new agey for me. Mm-hmm.
They're gonna whack a guy like that. They're gonna whack him like in a bar after hours,
right.
And they're not gonna do it you know, in the middle of the street.
I knew you'd hate that episode.
Also, yesterday, why did you know we'd hate it?
Well, you especially, but both of you. I figured we all would because of the dream sequence. Because you don't like the psychological stuff.
Well, I don't mind it. Just don't beat me over the head with it.
Right, which they did at that length.
I understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, I get when Melfi's not in the chair and it's the girl with the Mercedes girl.
Right.
And, you know, I get all the references.
Right.
But please, if I want to see, you know, here's a perfect example.
I want to see Christopher's girlfriend in her underwear more.
Mm-hmm. If I want to see weird stuff like what they were doing, that David Lynch type stuff,
right.
I'll rent the movie Mars Attacks, where they take, what's her name, Sex in the City? What's her name? Sarah Jessica Parker?
Yeah.
They take her head and put it on a poodle's body. If I want to see something esoteric like that,
mm-hmm.
I'll watch that.
I hate that movie.
I'll watch that.
Can't stand that movie.
Now, hold on a second. Hello, Don and Mike.
Can't stand that movie.
Hi, Tony.
How you doing?
Hey, Don and Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, you know, there's a precedent. Hi, Don and Mike. Where are you guys?
Howdy.
There's a precedent that's already been said. It was visions that Tony had when he got the food poisoning that allowed him to know that Big Pussy was the one that was informing on him.
But when Big Pussy was the fish.
Exactly.
Right.
And he had those weird dreams. This is not the first time the weird dreams have ever
happened. Yeah, but hold on. This was a 30-minute weird dream.
It was a little extended. But when they're sitting at that dinner table and they start talking, that John Hurd character and Annette Bening start talking about their son and about how worthless he is and they never think he's going to amount to anything, that kid becomes AJ.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And again, I get it. I'm not a psychology major, but I get it.
Well, I don't want to think that much when I'm watching The Sopranos. Right.
Bingo.
I really want to relax and have it happen. Tell me a story.
Bingo. Mm-hmm.
Don't put me into a dream.
They definitely need to mop it up more.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
My brother.
You want to make that show better? I'll give you a three-word fix. Watch the show, make The Sopranos better. King of Queens.
Every week they tell a story.
It's universal.
And it's in a nice little package.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi, Matt.
The two cool parts, actually, yesterday, Sunday, I should say, was when the girlfriend caught on fire.
No, we're all agreed that was fantastic.
Yeah, and the of course the Asian call girl, like wow.
That was quite a little peek we had at her, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. But now was that in the dream as well?
No, I think he really. I think when he was at the plaza, I think he really did get a visitor. I think he called for a visitor.
Yeah.
Then he went to sleep after that. When he woke up, the call girl was gone, and it was Carmine in the bed. And didn't that start the whole dream? What?
A TV, I don't know, it was weird. He was watching the TV, and there was a, like, commercial for the tall girl. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And why was there all that stuff, like when he's in the house with Carmella, and then they're looking on the TV, and they're on the TV?
Yeah.
Come on, what mixed message are you trying to send me?
I don't think it's a mixed message. I think in that segment, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it as dreamlike as possible, which I hate anyway.
Who dreams like that?
I do.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I dream that I'm... I've had dreams where I'm talking to somebody and I look at the TV and we're on the TV too.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
I wouldn't know that. I don't dream to that such extent.
Oh, forget about it.
I don't know.
No, but I don't remember the dream exactly, but it was Channel 596.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
1295. You buy five channels for
Channel 593. Channel 596 is three up from Channel 593. And that's what you pay that $12.95 for.
Amen. Because the other ones before that are
ATOS, Taste of Spice.
Yes. Oh, I call it Atmosphere because it's ATOS. Playboy,
and then you get Platinum.
Platinum.
Mm-hmm. Pure Platinum.
Yeah.
Which is usually where I linger. We're the hot zone.
DirecTV is the best for porno.
Is it the hot zone or the hot net?
They got to bring down that price, though. $12.95 for five movies when, face it, you're only going to watch them for 3 or 4 minutes.
And I don't want the dot-com thing. Have you ever seen that when they have that going on?
No, what's that?
Where you go on one of those channels and it's like an internet site that's up there and they just have a person performing.
Oh, you can direct her.
Yeah.
I guess
if you're on the computer.
Is it webcast quality?
Yeah,
I probably wouldn't like it. Bill O'Reilly?
I'm not the beautiful lady from Chicago.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you have it isolated now.
I thought it was this one.
Hey, Dick. You're a moron.
All right, hold on.
Hey, Dick. You're a moron.
They work nice together as a package.
They do.
Okay, so that's The Sopranos,
mm-hmm.
right? Everybody got their 2 cents in on that?
Yeah, I hope it picks up next week.
Troy, yesterday, you made me write this down. Do you want to debate whether Troy will be a smash or not?
Well, yeah.
If you're saying smash,
I'm willing to debate you on that. I think it's going to be a disappointment for the producers, and I think it's...
Who cares about the producers? Just the bottom line.
The bottom line is it's not going to be a smash.
I think it'll be a smash. It won't be a smash like...
Especially with Shrek coming out.
It won't be a smash like Spider-Man 2 mm-hmm. or like Shrek.
Or like Gladiator, which is the same genre.
Right, it won't be as big as Gladiator.
And
but
it certainly won't be an award-winning movie like Gladiator.
No, right. Obviously not. Anything with Brad Pitt
what I had
award.
Said, and I don't even know if I said this yesterday when we were having this debate. The reason I don't think it's going to be a smash is that although Brad Pitt is a movie star that women want to go see, Brad Pitt is not that kind of movie star.
Mike,
Brad Pitt is great in Ocean's 11 where he plays the little Weasley guy.
May I just tell you, women want to be with him and men want to be him.
No, see, I disagree. I don't think he's that kind of actor.
Just kidding.
I know.
But I think...
And when he said it's like, he's got a little guy's voice.
So there's a bunch of dopey women out there. I'm just saying...
I will lead you to freedom.
Don't underestimate the dopey women. Okay, whether it's a smash or trash, I think... When did it make its first weekend? 46 million?
Right.
Now, it goes up against Shrek and some other stuff. I bet the movie ends up making over $100 million.
Oh, but movies like that with the market... Are you going to include Europe?
No, just domestic.
It'll be interesting to see, but isn't a movie like that an epic when they spend $125 million on it?
It's not a guarantee.
You don't want a movie that's, they spend $125 million on it because they want it to make $200 million.
But it's a crapshoot. You only win that one every once in a while, like with Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a million movies that get made like whatever this Troy movie is. But I can't believe I'm arguing for this movie.
But I have to debate you that then I can't say that if it makes $100 million that it's considered a smash.
Okay, but where I live... If you got a movie that makes $100 million, it's a smash.
Not if you pay $125 million to make the movie.
$220, according to some insider.
$220 million it cost to make the movie?
Right.
They were hoping this movie would make $300 million.
I think it's a smash.
You're not. It's no fun when your heart's not in it. And I can tell your heart's not. You don't like arguing for Troy.
I found
this. You know why? Because you don't believe what you're saying.
Listen, here's the thing. I believe it's going to be a hit movie. I believe it's going to be a smash movie. But
you're a skilled bonesman, but I will tell you that I don't think.
you start talking about, international gross and what it's going to do against...
I brought that in only to...
Try to help my woeful argument.
You've brought that in before. Before, like,
listen,
the overall
here's the thing.
Numbers.
Here's my only point. You got a movie. I don't care if it cost $5 billion to make. It made $48 million in 3 days.
It had got to
be a lot
episode.
Of schmucks out there. If they even get half that next week, that movie's going to be near $70 million, and it won't be long until it gets $100 million. And over the summer, over the year, there's probably only 10 or 11 movies.
I think it'll make
maybe more.
It might make some more money when it comes out on DVD.
I'm just talking about in the theater. If that still is not the barometer of what makes a hit movie to make $100 million...
I don't think it is.
Regardless of how much it costs, I still think it is.
$100 million, what do they make? What does a blockbuster make now? What is the kind of money... I'm going to take the Passion of the Christ out of it.
Hold on. Kill Bill has made $66 million and is considered to be an out-of-control smash because it didn't cost that much and they didn't think there was a lot of buzz about. But the movie cost something like $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
So actually they've made a small profit on that one.
Okay. But isn't that what it is, though? I mean, if you're spending that money to make a movie, you're spending it because you think, hey, this is going to be such an epic. It's going to be so...
Hey, give me a book of movies from last year. You got a book of movies from last year?
No, I can get it on the net real quick.
Okay, can you get it real fast? Because that'll be the easiest way.
I think, let me just say this. After this weekend, Troy will be referred to as a disappointing movie. And we'll see what they say about it.
New York Post today reported that Warner Brothers is worried.
Well, Warner Brothers is always worried. Well, what the hell else do they have? They got Brad Pitt in a Gladiator scene.
And Brad Pitt is just not that type.
I'm telling you, these dopey women like him.
Women like him, but they don't like him as a gladiator.
I think they'd like him if he's reading the telephone book.
May I say something?
Yes.
In order for a gladiator to be successful, you have to have a gladiator that men and women like.
Listen.
As a gladiator, Douglas Russell Crowe.
I think 48 million, 40, so whatever, mate, that's a pretty goddamn good opening weekend for a movie.
But why is it being described in most publications as disappointing?
Because you believe the crap that you read and all that stuff?
My movie people tell me that.
Who's your movie people? Charlie Stoffel?
Well, I was on the phone with Leonard Maltin the other day. And Leonard said to me,
well, I'll
Troy
tell you something.
Is a miss.
When I was on the phone to the hospital this morning with Leonard Goldberg, the last thing he said to me was...
What did he say? Tony Randall, of course.
He said, Troy is... Stick to your guns in this argument.
Didn't he say that he wishes he could be in the movie Troy?
He does.
As Brad Pitt's father.
He does.
As Achilles' father.
Listen, I don't know. I think it's a heel.
I think Achilles has a heel.
I'll say uncle on that.
Okay.
On the Troy thing. I don't know. If we're going to argue about if a movie's going to be a smash... cotton picking smash or trash.
Right.
I'd rather have it be a movie that I feel passionately about.
I know. And I know you didn't feel passionately about that. But the thing is, I said this about Troy early on, and I said it for one reason and one reason only. I didn't think that Brad Pitt was that Mel Gibson, Russell Crowe kind of movie star where people would say, hey, he to me, let me just say this?
The reason
I said this movie would stink.
Me, don't think the lady protests too much.
The reason I think this movie, and I love Brad Pitt in Ocean's Eleven.
Mm-hmm. You've said that.
I mean, he's great in that movie because it's like perfect. He's a wise guy, kind of a slick guy.
Right.
That's what I want to see him in. In this movie, I looked at it, I said, he lacks any credibility as a gladiator, like epic movie star. And I think that you're not.
So now if the movie makes $100 million, you go, well, it's not a smash. Would it be a hit if it made $100 million? Regardless of the cost?
Because they put so much marketing into it.
Have they really? I mean, I don't think
they have a lot of ads for
it. I don't think that they've marketed this movie.
Usually how you can tell if a movie's having trouble. They get test audiences and they put that
money. Okay, I read Entertainment Weekly too, okay?
Right.
And there have been as many ads for that disaster movie that's coming out.
That is going to be a blockbuster.
By what estimation?
Just that everybody's going to go see it.
How much money did that movie cost?
I don't know.
Let's guess $200 million.
I would think so. With all the
so, how much would they have to make for that movie to be a smash?
Well, they'd have to make. I would say for a movie that costs $200 million to make it like a blockbuster
smash,
probably have to make like $250 to $300 million.
Mm-hmm.
So you only make $50 million profit.
Yeah.
Initially, the rest is off worldwide in marketing.
Okay,
so if Troy costs $225 million.
So you're going with what Buzz said. There's no way Troy cost $225 million.
The official cost is $150 million. Insiders quoted by.
Okay, stop right there. Insiders quote
by Variety and the New York Post.
You know what's fun is now you get
what's
now
the
your
first
heart's
figure.
Getting, now you're getting back into it.
What's the first figure you gave? $150 million.
$150 million.
It'll make 150.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll make 150. I'm happy to argue the point from now until kingdom come with you, but I really don't give a crap.
Brad Pitt, not epic star.
Right.
Not that kind of star.
Christ. When did I get back?
Russell Crowe, that
kind
of star.
When did I get back into this corner that I'm the world's biggest Brad Pitt fan?
You know what?
I think I made a comment.
I think the movie will be a smash. I don't think you're arguing for Brad Pitt. I think you're arguing for Mrs. Pitt. I think that's why
she doesn't need him.
Yeah, but I mean, I know. I think you're trying to make her feel better about you.
Yeah,
you got,
right.
She's looking at you. She looks at you every day.
I do look at that beautiful picture of Jennifer Aniston.
Sure.
I don't even know why I even said that. What did I say? Troy will be a smash.
It was a throwaway.
I like epic movies. I really do. I like going to see them. I have no interest in going to see this movie. Would people stop paying attention to random things that I say? You know, when you throw out 8,000 things a day, occasionally, they're not all going to stick to the wall.
I don't say very often. I say, well, this movie is going to be a disappointment. And I said, in fact, I said a flop. And I modified that yesterday.
All right, here we go, Mike. The top 10 grossing movies for 1993.
Okay.
Or, I'm sorry, 2003.
2003.
You tell me, are these movies smashes or not?
I will tell you.
Bad Boys 2.
No.
That made $139 million.
Yeah, I didn't think of that as a...
Matrix Revolutions.
That was kind of a blockbuster.
$139 million.
Mm-hmm.
Terminator 3.
And a disappointment.
$150 million. Elf.
Yeah, not even on the radar.
173.
Wow.
173 million.
Need a lot of money.
X2. X-Men United. Smash?
I don't think so.
$214 million.
Isn't that amazing? I wouldn't think that movie made that kind of money.
Bruce Almighty.
No.
$242 million.
Wow.
Matrix Reloaded.
That was a big smash.
$281 million.
Mm-hmm.
Pirates of the Caribbean. $305 million.
Big movie.
Nemo. $339.
Mm. Smash movie.
Okay,
Finding
now that,
Nemo.
That I'll give you. And Lord of the Rings, $376.
And a blockbuster. Nemo
Oh, now, you know, hold on. Now that I'm looking at this
Lord of the Rings and Nemo, two blockbusters.
Right. Now that I'm looking at this list.
So I think we're
oh, and at number one?
Yeah.
At number one? Kangaroo Jack.
No, hold on. Why are you trying to attach me to Kangaroo Jack? That is cheating. That is cheating. I never said anything about it.
You're attaching me to Troy when I made a throwaway comment that now I'm going to retract, and I'll tell you why.
I came out and I said Troy's going to be a flop, and then you said, I bet you it won't be.
Hold on. But going on what I'm seeing now and based on what these movies made last year, I'm going to have to say you can't say $100 million means a movie's a smash. I was wrong about that.
Okay.
Listen to the movies last year that made $100 million. Daddy Daycare.
Wow.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Freaky Friday. SWAT.
Oh, God.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
Did that make $100 million?
Too Fast, Too Furious made $127
million. Okay, I don't think... Yeah, I think $300 million
and
is
hold
the
on,
blockbuster.
Hold on,
250 to 300
hold
for the blockbuster.
Hold on. Cheaper by the dozen.
How much did that make?
$138 million.
And I bet it didn't cost that much to make.
Of course not. No. I've rented it on
and that's
paper.
Why Steve Martin just
okay.
Drones along.
Let's stop this argument then, because right. Based on this criteria, and I'm going to have to... If this,
are you
going
to yield to the gentleman from New England?
If this means I am giving in, yes.
Okay.
Because the criteria has changed. I was going with a set of figures that are antiquated by what I had thought was a smash. This movie will not be a smash.
And the movie that will be a smash will be the one coming out. I mean, Shrek is going to make $300 million.
Yes. But what about your disaster movie?
$300 million? It'd be tight.
No
but,
way.
But I don't think so.
No way.
I don't think day after
hold
tomorrow.
On.
Mm.
Hold on.
It's going to be a big hit.
Anger Management. Anger Management.
That was a big hit, wasn't it?
The movie that Buzz and I are, and our wives walked out on.
Yeah, hated it.
$136 million.
Yeah, any movie can make that, apparently.
I really think with the proper distribution, mm-hmm. That's the way it goes now.
Daredevil made $100 million. And then there's a lot of movies that just
how
almost...
How much did Geely make?
Hold on. I got to scroll down.
Way down.
Geely.
9.3
million. That really, when you see some of the movies that made $100 million, it makes you realize that a movie doesn't even make $10 million.
All right, hold on. Before we break, I'll give you 5 movies. Tell me which of these 5 made $100 million.
It's going to be hard for you. Yeah.
Okay? Made $100 million.
And some of them have?
Yes.
All right.
Old School.
Oh, God, yes.
No.
You're kidding me.
Old School, $75 million.
What?
Hmm.
That was a big hit on DVD, though.
Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle.
I'll say that made $100 million.
Just barely.
Okay.
$100,800,000. How about Kangaroo Jack?
I'll say that easily made $100 million.
$46
million. Oh, okay. All right.
Hold on. I just lost it.
You've confused
you me. Never know.
What happened to the screen? Oh, here it is. Hold on. Legally Blonde 2.
Oh, that made a lot of money.
Make $100 million?
Yeah.
No.
No?
$90
million. All right.
How about... Let me find one more for you. Eddie Murphy. The Haunted Mansion.
No, disaster.
$75
million. Yeah, didn't and very expensive to make.
$75 million for that movie. So, listen, under those rules... Troy's not a smash.
No. And Troy, they were thinking that would make the big mm-hmm. bucks.
Were they thinking that's going to make $300 million?
I bet they were.
Then they need to have their head examined.
Well,
they really do.
I mean, you look at the trailer for it. I mean, obviously, a phenomenally expensive movie.
You didn't find the trailer to be erotic?
Yeah. Oh, erotic? Yeah.
Of course.
Anyway.
Really, I know one way to make it better.
That's the argument with a smash or trash on Troy.
One of the problems with Troy, they said, was the fact that it got the R rating, that's causing a problem.
The violence. And
because the younger people can't go to see it.
But I still don't think young people are going to go to see a movie about Achilles.
No, they're not. They're all going to go see Cheaper by the Dozen. That stupid movie made $138 million.
And Day After Tomorrow is your kind of movie.
I know.
I mean, you're going to go see that. You got your favorite actor in it.
I know.
Al Gore says you should see it.
I know. I've seen it. I've seen Independence Day. I know it's one of those movies.
Uh-huh.
I know it's one
it
of those
just looks really cool.
Blockbuster disaster
and
movies
I
that
hate
I love.
Movies like that most of the time, but
right.
This looks very cool.
I love it. So anyway, that's what you get for being a sensitive guy. That's what you get for being a guy who's open enough to his gay side to say, hey, you know what? Look at that Brad Pitt. Boy, is he cute with that short hair. I think that movie's going to make... who cares what it's going to make? I just want to argue about it with Mike.
It's kind of tough.
I just want to argue about Brad Pitt with Mike.
As far as
Brad Pitt.
Yeah. And not in the entire debate. Not once. And I want you to remember this. Did I ever use the word fag?
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'll tell you what, though, that Brad Pitt, you know what he's married to?
I'm not a beautiful lady from Chicago.
Beautiful lady. Jennifer Aniston.
She is.
She's beautiful. Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. Not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
Don and Mike Show. Hello. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Hey, what happened?
I don't know.
Come on, come on, come on, come on. Now touch.
Who is?
Jim Morrison.
Wait till you hear what they done did. The Don and Mike Show.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. We didn't do that.
We did not.
We didn't.
I didn't.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Britt.
Yes.
Hi, Britt.
Hi.
How are you?
We're fine. How are you?
I'm great. Don? Mike?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Britt?
Yes?
You got a breaking news story coming?
Yeah, always, sir.
Okay, I don't want to burst your bubble.
Yes, you do. We have a newsmaker who's dying to trump you.
What do you have for me?
Tony Randall.
You know what?
I wish I had known that.
Dude, got to ask your name.
Yep, absolutely.
Britt?
Especially after all that hype. It's out of my hands, Britt.
Britt, what's your last name?
No, just initial.
Just initial. What's your last initial, Britt?
What's your last initial, Britt?
H.
Where are you calling from? What city?
Tracy.
Tracy,
California.
Tracy, California.
What city is that near, Tracy, California?
No, it's about an hour from Sacramento, about an hour from San Francisco.
Okay. Before we put this guy in the book, for being so dumb, I just want a shout-out, a really big shout-out to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
I love, and I am not kidding now, I do love Sacramento.
I know you do.
I love it. It's a great city.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about Sacramento after I was watching what happened at the Kings game the other night.
The big brouhaha.
Sacramento is simply a slightly smaller Baltimore, and that's a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore has a chip on its shoulder.
Right.
The city of Baltimore, no matter what you say, it's a beautiful city, they say, yeah, but what?
Right.
Yeah, but what?
Right.
Sacramento, even more so.
Mm-hmm.
The other night, I don't know which guy it was for the Kings. Maybe it's the guy that got suspended. I told you.
You told the guy with the hand in the face?
I told Mike, we weren't on the radio the other day, but during a break, I said, I'm watching the Kings game, and this guy's guarding Kevin Garnett, simply the best NBA player,
right.
Even better than Kobe. And the guy for the Kings, he's just putting his hand...
Just to mess with him, right?
2 inches in front of the guy's face. Like, it's not really against the rules.
Right.
But it's one of those things.
But it's just obnoxious.
Yeah, and they end up getting into a fight, and then 17, they give away those annoying, what are those sticks that they, the thunder sticks?
Right. With the little pom-poms on them?
No, the thunder sticks are those things that they had at the Angels game.
Oh, there they go. Blah, 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 blah.
I think that they're those sticks that make noise. Anyway, all the Sacramento fans got this. 17,000 of them. Go down on the floor.
There you go.
Way to go. Yes, way to go, Kings.
Anger.
Way to go, Kings.
It's an angry little town.
I hope Sacramento takes Minnesota, because I'd like nothing better than to see Sacramento beat the Lakers.
Be fun.
I really would. That would be. And listen, window of opportunity for Sacramento, that window is closing every day.
Very, very exciting. It's a great time to be a basketball fan in Sacramento.
And having said all of that, now you, my dumbass friend, you're going in the book. Oh, was he thought he could hang up? Did we get his number?
Let's see. Did we have it?
I was pontificating.
Yeah, I gave it to Hefe already.
Oh, Alex, good. Alex, would you get his number, please? Get him on the phone.
Yes, because you have to be you have to take your medicine when you're put in the book. Tim
that's
H.
Right. Tim H. is his name.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was Britt. Britt, that's right. Britt H.
I'm sorry, Britt H. In the book, because we covered this earlier about...
I mean, really, at the very beginning, the opening.
Lenny Goldberg.
Mm-hmm. Lenny Goldberg at the beginning of the show. We had significant time spent talking
right.
about
had
it.
We even had a brief tribute to it.
And, you know, I called Rob, and I never called Rob about celebrity deaths. I called Rob today, and, of course, Rob knew, had known, and was notified by Don, which means you get the nod unless Buzz called you.
No, I'm the
winner. Out of it. You get the nod.
I'm the winner, and...
I thought I'd be late to the party, and that was at about, I would say, 1:30 today.
Mm,
yeah.
Just another sign that my son is growing up and maturing, wise beyond his years.
I got his voicemail. You want to leave him a message?
Yeah. Yeah. Just tell me when you get to the beep.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Oh, sorry. What's his name, Robbie?
Britt.
Britt. Hey, it's Don and Mike. Even though you hung up, we got your number from caller ID, and because you didn't know that we knew that Tony Randall was dead...
Yeah, and we discussed it at length at the beginning of the show.
This is for you.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Way to go.
You've been selected as a charter member in the Don and Mike Exclusive Listeners Club.
Yes, you have.
You are now a registered Don and Mike caller and are entitled to all the privileges that come with said title.
Listen to that.
Be sure to watch your mailbox for your registered Don and Mike caller sign.
For your neighbors.
To be placed prominently in your front yard.
For your neighbors.
You have been profiled, tagged, and you are now in the book. Good day.
Hi, good day.
I said good day, sir.
There he is, the voice of the Don and Mike Show. Dude Walker, good day. Mm-hmm.
Number 7 or 8, right? Or
number 9?
Number 9 now.
Number 9. Is it number 9?
0000009.
Well, he'll never darken our airwaves again.
Thank goodness.
We got his name. We got his number. So I'm on the phone with Rob today, gleefully. And my son, who I have no complaints with now. It's like all of a sudden... Somebody turned on the maturity switch.
Right.
He's no longer 19 going on 14. Mm-hmm. He's 19 going on 20 now.
Good.
Got a job. Got his sleep in order. Mm-hmm. He's pleasant to be around.
Excellent.
Free and I are really enjoying his company. We're so glad he got through whatever
this good news.
Awkward time is. And this morning, I don't even have to wake him up. He's like up at 9:30 to get cleaned up to go to work. And he's downstairs and we're talking. And I see on the TV that Tony Randall's dead.
Right.
And I said, hey, Bart, hold on a second. I got to call somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I go, hey, Rob, did you hear? Rob said, what? He said, no, come on, don't play with me. Do you know who's dead? Rob said, who? And I said, Tony Randall. And Rob said, oh, you got me.
Yeah, because we all like to be first with the news.
And it's
our little morbid thing that we do.
You can ask Rob, at the exact moment that I'm saying this, my son starts saying, oh, that's funny, Dad. That's funny. When you die, I'm going to call Rob when I find your body, and I'm going to say, hey, Rob, guess what? I bet you didn't know this. My dad is dead.
Oh, you know God. That sound when a real loud voice is like 5 foot off the phone?
Sure.
Right here? Oh, real nice, Dad.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Well, he sure knows how to put it in perspective.
Yeah. And I like it when he also collectively now just gets a conscience.
Yeah,
you know, like he could say something to me about Columbine or whatever, you know. And generally, he doesn't say mean-spirited things. He's a good kid, but he'll say stuff eventually. And he's just busting my balls,
right?
But it was funny with Rob. It was funny. Not good, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Yeah.
And the other thing that happened to me at home today, my wife is out working again. Thank Jesus for that.
You got the whole family working now.
Yeah, that's... Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. So the bathroom is still not done.
No.
Incidentally.
You're kidding.
I'm not even wasting your time with it.
Wow.
You know?
I thought it was supposed to be done by now.
The toilet is there.
The toilet was there.
And there is one...
2 weeks ago.
There's one sink. There is still no shower. There is still no bathtub. There is still no second vanity.
Wow.
There are still...
You know, I don't want to pry, but can I ask you a question about this little endeavor?
Yeah.
You've got a flat fee you're paying for this, right?
Yeah, which is why
he's not going to pop some labor costs on you at the end of this.
No. This is one price gets it all.
Okay.
It's just that, you know, we thought, you know, and my wife...
Well, I don't know how this guy's making money.
My wife says it's her fault.
Right.
That because she's ordered all this junk that we don't really need. Anyway, I'm on the phone trying to figure out when they're going to come out and fix the bathroom stuff, and then ding dong, the doorbell rings.
Right.
So I go to the doorbell, and I am not kidding you. It's a guy that's going door to door selling burial plots. Now, I mean, like, creepy, like 6 feet under stuff.
Wow. Hello, little girl.
Yeah, right, I'm not kidding.
Can I come in?
I answered the door. The guy's got on... The guy's got on a short-sleeve, button-down shirt.
Of course. How are you?
And really, what appears to be a clip-on tie.
Are you familiar with the fact that you're on an Indian burial plot?
So he's not... He's not... getting in my house.
Wait a minute, he's coming door to door to sell burial plots?
Yes.
Jesus, I'd call the police.
Mike, there are all kinds of peddlers.
Oh, my God.
Even the fanciest of McMansion neighborhoods.
Door to door. What, you're coming out to my house, invading my privacy, said, hey, you can talk about me dying and where I'm going to be buried?
Right. You got a minute. We've got a place. I'm going in this neighborhood, you know. Anyway.
Oh, man, I'd say I'm thinking of the backyard and slam the door.
Well, there are too many guys that come to the door. There's all the guys that come to the door. Hey, hello, would you like your trees cut? Hello, do you need the mulch put in?
I'd be so mad.
So anyway, it's one of the endless parade of guys
your
that come
up. Your recording time is about to expire.
You've been leaving it on that guy's message.
Oh, that's good.
Well, hey, that's good. That's a benefit.
All right, good.
You didn't follow my suggestion with that sales
now,
email.
Press pound.
Refer him to Tony Randall's wife.
For additional options,
okay,
press 9.
I can't get the phone to stop. The phone is locked on that. You see that?
Message now. Press pound to replay your message.
Oh, my God. We're tied into that idiot from Sacramento forever.
See, look at that. It won't go away.
Or Tracy. Tracy
Gallagher.
Press
pound to replay your message.
You
press 3.
What?
What'd you do?
What did I do? I'm standing there. I didn't do anything.
Hello?
Hi, Rob.
Oh, hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Rob.
How are you?
Well. Okay.
Oh.
Stop. So anyway, this guy calls me. The guy calls me then about the bathroom. Then the guy shows up to want to sell me burial plots. And while the guy is standing there wanting to sell me burial plots.
Are you listening to his pitch?
No, I'm trying to tell him in a polite way. I'm not interested.
Right, right.
The phone rings. And I go and I get the phone, and it's Beth Ann. And she,
our new producer.
Yeah. She says, "Hey, how you doing?" And I didn't know how to tell her. You know, this is really the wrong. And I wanted to get the wrong impression of me.
Right.
I've only met her 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
She's our new producer. She'll start in a couple of weeks.
Right.
She's coming from Raleigh, Durham.
Mm-hmm.
So she's all excited and saying, "I found a place to live, and things are great, and I can't wait, and I'm so happy for the opportunity." And finally, says, "Listen, Beth Ann, this is really great, but this is just not a good time for me. There's a guy here trying to sell me a burial plot right now, and I know that she thinks I'm crazier than when she came for the interview,
right?
Or she thought I was just blowing her off.
Well, but I mean, that'd be a tough one to make up.
Yeah. And so there's a guy at the front door trying to sell me a burial plot. It's really not a good time.
And really, you know, burial plot's nice. Really, say what it is. There's a guy that's trying to sell me a grave site.
Yeah, I said,
tell me where I'm going to be buried.
Mm-hmm. Said, so Beth Ann, I got to go. I'll see you when you start. And she said, well, okay, I just wanted to say, and then I was frazzled,
yeah,
because I still got the creepy guy standing on my front porch.
Someone you work with? They interested in where they want to be buried?
So I said to her, listen, I'm glad to have you on the team. I'll see you when you get here. And then she said, well, no, that's the same thing that Rob said to me. Glad to have you on the team. And I'm looking at the phone like, hey, listen, bitch, what do you want from me? You got the job. You got the job. Just come up here. There's a creepy guy that wants to sell me a hole that he wants to bury me in. So anyway, Beth Ann, you caught me at a bad time.
Sure.
You caught me at a bad moment.
Well, she'll have to understand. You can explain it to her when she gets here.
I will. I will. I'll explain it to her in depth when she gets
here. Looking forward to that. And sometime soon she's going to be here.
Right? I believe June 1st is...
June 1.
Oh, June 1st is the day that I think they've targeted for her starting here.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. So God knows we need her.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking forward to it, right, Rob?
I think it'd be nice to have another person around the place.
Rob's the one's going to have to break her in.
Yeah.
Break in old BA. Tell her all of the backstories. Tell her all of the idiosyncrasies about working with us.
Hi, Beth Ann. Welcome.
The thing is, Rob's not bitter because Rob knows that the producer's job just isn't his bag.
I know. It's just right. He's been. I've listened to his commentary. It's just funny.
Yeah.
It's
like, no,
but you know, welcome. It'll be good. I'll actually look forward to it. There's lots of best stuff for her to plan.
Rob hates. That's a job Rob hates.
Yeah,
like going, especially now with the FCC, we can't play stuff that we did like a year ago.
Right.
So they got to go through and they got to edit out all this stuff. Rob was saying to me today, when does Beth Ann start? It said June 1st. Good. She can get right on Best Of. First thing, right on. Get on it. She's edited tape. Welcome. Here. Come right down to this studio.
I'm down here.
Here, we have a place for you here.
Well, she's going to be a great...
down halfway down the hall.
If you need anything, I'll be down here.
She is going to be a great addition to our, to our little show.
Oh, very nice.
And you're going to like her. She's
Hey, we all need a woman around the house.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm happy to say that we didn't go with type here. We didn't go get some young... With no... Listen, she's a handsome woman, not that it has anything to do with her getting the job, but we didn't go out and get some bimbo like Donald Trump marrying for the third or fourth time.
Right. Right.
Yeah. We got the best person for the job,
not
our producer.
Not a trophy producer.
Who happens to be
a real producer.
Right, Buzz. That's right. Yeah. She happens... We didn't do a...
Don, you are on the air, sir.
No chance. I'm leaving her. Uh-huh. I'm leaving my wife to run away with Beth Ann.
All right.
No chance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? She's...
Well, you never know until she gets here.
Well, I pretty much...
We all ought to be ready. You know, just see what happens.
No, right?
We're all one big family here.
I made up my mind at the interview.
This is just like...
I had to make sure. Yeah. I had to make sure there was nothing romantic between she and I.
Well, that's good.
But I do that with every woman that I meet, Mike. Yeah. Every woman, because you never know...
And
you know,
some men.
You did that when I started here.
You never know when the charisma's... I can't... There's no off switch for the charisma.
I know. It's just nonstop.
You know what I'm saying? It's inconceivable.
You can't help it.
I ooze it.
Mm-hmm.
I ooze it. So I oozed it out and didn't get nothing from her.
You're constantly oozing.
She couldn't be a better choice. She's our age. She's got a kid, a grown-up kid.
Right.
She brings all of that to the show, and she's going to actually do producer jobs.
Yeah, and she is a fantastic cook.
And she makes the mean cup of joe. Mike, she promised you'll get your chicken wings every day.
Isn't that exciting?
You'll have my diet vanilla Cokes in here every day.
And she really, what sealed it is when she said your whites will never be whiter. And all your seams will be straight.
And I got one more in-house thing to take care of here. I'd love to use the inside line.
It's jammed up still?
Hold on. There, it just went free.
Thank you,
Will. I do want to ask Alex a question. We had him on a second ago. Hello?
Happy?
Joe?
Kind of went dead there.
The line just went Tony Randall on us.
Oh, no.
There we go. All right. Oh, and we got the Joe Mose to get to, the second half of Joe at NASCAR.
Yeah.
Joe, or who's this, Joe or Alex?
Alex,
listen, first off, Alex Jimenez, you do a show every night on WJFK. At 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, explain to me the schedule, because you mentioned to me a second ago you're tired, and I can understand it. You come in to help us out, and you've been nice enough to come in during the interim period here.
Right.
Before Beth Ann starts. So we've got Alex back there helping us. Then he helps out Ron and Fez, who are the guys on after us.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does his own show.
Wow.
Yeah, how many? 3 hours?
2 hours.
Two hours. So what is your average work day, Alex?
About 13 hours.
And we're not talking like 13 hours where you're just around. I mean, you get here and you are here at the facility for 13 hours.
Yes, there will be no one happier to see Beth Ann than me.
Okay.
Because I've got the duties of going through the old Best Ofs, then, of course, doing what we do during the show, doing the stuff with Ron and Fez, and then trying to do a show for 2 hours at the end of the night.
Yeah, but you got to say, between us and Ron and Fez, there's no better school, my man.
Absolutely.
We're trying to learn you good. And here's the problem with Alex. The problem is he works these hours, and he still lives in Mexico.
A long commute.
He still commutes every day.
Yeah, by car.
Alex Jimenez.
It's very, very tight.
So you work on average of 13... You get here at what time every day?
I get here sometime between 12:30 and 12:30 and 2.
Christ, and you leave what, like at 2 or 3 in the morning?
I'm out of here usually by 1:30.
Man, you must love radio. Well, good for you, Alex.
Yeah, I do. Thank you, guys.
Good for you.
Good luck. And, you know, for you young broadcasters out there, it's kind of the way you do it. What he's doing right now would be described as paying dues.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Smelling Dennis Murphy's breath today, that was paying dues.
You know what, really? 13-hour workday, Alex, and you come in and you did that with Dennis. I my hat's off to you.
We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right.
Looking forward to that effing vodka.
Okay. Help yourself to it.
Go for it.
All right. Bye, Alex.
Bye-bye. Oh, man. I'm so proud. And he drinks, too.
Yeah.
God, that makes me smile.
So is Beth Ann.
And she drinks, too?
That matters at all to you.
You already did that recon?
You bet I did.
That's good. You know, kind of nice to have. We always like to, you know, it's our weakness.
And she's like us. Maybe one of those things where in the past there was something that maybe happened one time. You know what I mean.
There you go.
One of those things you just keep under the radar.
Sure.
One of those things, you know, back in the go-go 80s.
Of course.
Back in the go-go 90s. Go in the go-go 2000s.
Yeah, back in the day in the 2000s.
Oh, we got one more call to make. Sales manager Julie Fullman. She's here now?
Yes, we can find out why there's a prayer bench outside the reception area.
She will know.
It's a prayer bench. Mm-hmm. Buzz identified it correctly. It's a pew.
Somebody is give us a heads up that she's here.
A minute ago, she was in her office.
She was there.
Is she ignoring our calls?
Come on now, Julie.
She's very busy.
You see, there is a prayer bench outside the front desk.
Rob, are you going to go down? And Rob's going to go down and fetch her,
padded like something you'd kneel on to pray.
And it really, there are some.
Ms. Coleman, I'm wondering if there's a chance.
There are some kooky fashion choices made around this radio station.
Well, she's the point person, and she has that Art Deco. Whacked out sensibility.
I'll give her a compliment. I think that her decorating choices remind me very much of the TV show Caroline of the City.
Very good.
If you remember, is this Julie calling us now? Hello?
This is Julie.
Hi, Julie. It's Don and Mike.
How about when I call you and I act like I'm answering my phone?
Okay, can you pick up for a second?
Oh, yeah, I'm on my headset.
Oh, okay.
You're on your headset. Goddamn set.
Julie?
Yes?
What? Hey, hold on. Hey, Robbie?
Yes?
Did your wife get the headset, too? So did my wife. Oh, that's so ridiculous.
Yes. I was in the Boston Chicken the other day buying my lunch, three chickens, and there was a lady in there that was on a headset on her cell phone talking just full volume, like, yeah. I'm on my headset, I'm important.
I don't know why you have a problem with it. This is really what's going to help Carrie spend a lot of time on the phone, because it's always been such a problem.
Julie, that you're in charge of furniture here. Wait, what is that thing that you put in front of the
Why is there a prayer bench in the reception area?
The bench?
Yeah, the prayer bench.
The pew.
What function?
I'm sorry, I didn't... You know the lobby is very weird shaped.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And sometimes, like when you guys do contests and stuff, we have a lot of people in there.
Yes.
So we don't really have room for any, like, normal piece of furniture.
Yeah.
So I found that wacky little bench, and I thought if we had a lot of people in there, that then they could sit on it so they wouldn't have to sit on the floor.
Have you actually tried to sit on it where it's located right now?
The bench is, like, 3 feet long, right? And maybe 12 inches wide, maybe?
You could put Mike's three chickens on it.
Well, you know, seriously, I sat on it because, you know, when I see a piece of furniture, it's just the kind of thing I do. And unfortunately, the body position that's required to sit on that bench, you have to lean forward, almost like someone is performing the Heimlich maneuver on you, and it's just a little weird.
It's in case of emergencies.
Okay. In case of emergency,
I'm telling you,
seating.
If you get a chance, come down to the radio station. Just look at it.
Yeah, stop and look at it.
Sit on it. What the F? What's going on there?
I will sit down with anyone who wants to sit on that bench. I think three people can sit quite comfortably on that bench.
Well, three midgets.
It may be the location, too.
The location is not good. We're going to move it to
that's fine.
By the window.
See, because the location's right in front of the window, like if you were going to go and give confession. If you got down and you kneeled and you opened the window, and what if it was Colette there? And you say, you know, forgive me, Colette, for I have sinned.
Sure. Listen. Bless me, Colette, for I have sinned.
Yeah.
You've been out of it a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. And what a dumb ritual that is a
bless
former...
Bless me, Colette, for I have sinned. It has been 6 weeks since my last confession.
Bye, Julie. Thank
Bye,
you.
Guys,
bye-bye. Bye. As a former Catholic, I'll tell you, what a bunch of bunk. You go in there, you sit there. I had to do this. I went to CCD every week when
I was a kid.
Yes,
so did I.
You go, you sit there, and you go, oh, Father, I did awful stuff this week. I pulled out my brother's hair, and I set some other guy's hair on fire, and I kicked some guy in the thing, and I called my mom a bad name, and I took the Lord to him. Okay, two Hail Marys, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's how business is done.
You say a prayer. Say a prayer and make it all better.
Say a little prayer.
I would figure it out. I'd sit there and go, Hail Mary, full of grace, blah, blah. Blah, blah. You know, my mind would just start to just...
You mean you wouldn't say the prayer that the priest gave you to say?
No.
Oh my God. Everyone, get out of the studio now.
How can you?
There's a thunderstorm coming.
How do you fancy the hocus pocus is going to work if you don't say all the magic words?
Okay. Exactly, wow. Rob. Exactly.
Welcome to Protestant's Corner, ladies and gentlemen.
Got a break. We'll be back. It's Joe next?
Yes.
Joe next. Yay. Joe Jomo's at NASCAR.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
And this you should not do. You should not say he's an animal. He's a, should not say he's Jacko. I'm not a Jacko.
D.D. is for everybody.
Hey, Jacko. Don't call him Jacko.
Jacko.
Anyone can share VD.
This you should not do. You should not say he's an animal. He's a... should not say he's a jackal.
That's right, Michael.
BD, not just for Michael Jackson. No way.
I'm not the beautiful lady from Chicago.
Broadcasting from the right side of the dirt, the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Todd Rundgren. Another genius. A lot of musical geniuses out there. He's another one of them.
Absolutely.
Todd Rundgren. You know who else is a musical genius? Not Joe Artinger. But he's the world's oldest phone screener. And I do love the Jomos. Everybody does.
It's time for another edition of Jomos. Joe Artinger, man on the street.
We started this yesterday and we're not able to finish it up. We have a couple interviews left.
This was a real special one, sending Joe down to Richmond, Virginia to the big NASCAR race.
Yep. Joe was there Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
Dale Jr. won the, right. Whatever it was, 400-mile race.
That makes a lot of people happy.
NASCAR, here's Joe. We've heard, I think, three or four of these. There's three or four more to go.
Very good.
Here's Joe with the prepared questions. As the day gets longer, the sun gets hotter, and the beer gets tastier at NASCAR.
Hello. I am Big Joe Artinger from NASCAR on CBS. Okay. May I ask you a few questions taped for broadcast?
Yes.
What is your name and where are you from?
Sean, I'm from Richmond.
What brings you to NASCAR on this fine evening?
Oh, I love it. I come every year.
Ain't these cars fast?
Yes, sir.
Who is your favorite driver?
You know, we may have just found the perfect guy.
Sure, absolutely.
Because his response to "Ain't these cars fast?"
he got that right.
Yeah.
Kevin Harvick.
Isn't he the dead one?
No.
He's not dead. Do you like that gay driver?
What gay driver?
What was his name again?
I don't know his name.
It is now the year 2004. What year do you think we'll see the first African-American Nextel Cup Series winner?
Come on.
Probably 2020.
Yeah,
16 years.
A little further down the road.
2020.
2020.
I reckon.
I don't know. How do you think the cicadas will affect tonight's race?
I don't think they're going to affect tonight's race.
Who do you think will win Survivor?
Survivor?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Again, just so you know the joke, and you know if you don't know the joke,
right.
Your problem.
Come on.
Just hit the microphone. Hamburger.
Boston Rob's having an hamburger.
Yes, he is with cheese. And I hope no ketchup. And you know what? I hope no. I hope that's just an hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anything would be bad. Mustard would be bad.
Absolutely.
Yeah, mayonnaise.
Yeah, mayonnaise be real dangerous.
Relish,
very, very bad. Onions.
Goes without saying. Okay, back to the tape. Here we go.
I can't remember. What were your feelings when you first heard about the death of James Garner?
James Garner? I don't know him either.
In your opinion, what is an acceptable percentage of minorities in attendance at a NASCAR event?
Here we go.
However many want to come.
Okay, now that's more
very
than
nice. And I'd like to comment that so far, all the NASCAR fans have been very well behaved with that question.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Tony Stewart learned to drive real good from his dad, Jackie Stewart?
No.
In your opinion, or have you seen the new pictures of Jeff Gordon on the internet?
No.
In your opinion, why did the South lose the Civil War?
They were stupid, I guess.
Because they were stupid, I guess?
They were stupid, I guess.
I wish he'd said, I reckon.
They were stupid, I guess.
They're stupid, I guess.
It has been said that Dale Sr. died because God needed a driver. Where do you think God needs to be driven to?
I have no clue.
Okay. How many teeth are in the average human head?
In the human head, 32.
How many teeth are in your head?
32.
Got it.
Since I am a Vietnam veteran, would you like to thank me for my service to our country?
You're not a Vietnam veteran.
Finally!
Winner! 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 Somebody called him on it.
That's good. You're not a Vietnam veteran.
That's right.
Gee, do you think so, Sparky?
Yeah, but he didn't know James Garner is still alive.
Can you share a positive experience regarding Goody's brand headache powder?
No.
Aren't you glad the FCC has cleaned up radio?
Yes.
Do you find me attractive?
No.
Thanks for your time, man.
And you know, he made you miss Bobby Labonte.
I know he did.
He
made you miss Bobby Labonte.
Rob, I didn't quite hear her in the background. What was she saying exactly?
You missed him, me seeing Bobby Labonte.
Joe Moe.
Here's another one from Saturday Night in Richmond.
Hello. I am Big Joe Ardinger from NASCAR and CBS. May I ask you a few questions taped for broadcast?
Sure.
What is your name and where are you from?
Kelly, I'm from Canada.
What brings you to NASCAR this fine evening?
Love racing.
Ain't these cars fast?
They are.
Who is your favorite driver?
Casey Kane.
Isn't he the dead one?
No.
Do you like that gay driver?
Isn't everybody?
Isn't he? What was his name again?
Hey, she threw Joe off.
Well, also, I believe at this point, Joe is also being affected by...
Is the heat, or do you think maybe there's some adult beverages going on?
I know Joe's beverage of choice. It comes in a blue can.
Right.
And it's called Miller Lite.
And he's...
I got
the impression from the last interview that he was starting to get a little wobbly.
Goes a little
based on the reading, you know. I got him out of order.
Well, weekend was here. Time to have 30 cans of beer.
I believe he's been blaming the heat.
Yeah, wink, wink.
Was hot.
Big Joe Ardinger. It is now the year 2004. What year do you think we'll see the first African-American Nextel Cup Series winner?
No idea.
A good answer.
How do you think the cicadas will affect tonight's race?
That's a good question. It could fly over.
Yes, it is, you dumb bitch.
Win Survivor.
Is that already done?
Oh!
Hey!
Aha!
Uh-huh.
Just called her a dumb bitch, and look at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She still is, but she knew that Survivor was over.
She knew.
Big Joe Ardinger.
It
is now the year 2004. What year do you think we'll see the first...
Oh, it just queued back to that same spot?
Yeah.
Winner. No idea.
Okay, here's the Survivor question.
How do you think the cicadas will affect tonight?
Oh, I forgot this one.
That's a good question. It could fly over.
Who do you think will win Survivor?
Is that already done?
You got that right.
What were your feelings when you first heard about the death of James Garner?
I didn't know he was dead.
Okay.
In your opinion, what is an acceptable percentage of minorities in attendance at a NASCAR event?
Come on, honey.
I have no idea.
Do you think Tony Stewart learned to drive real good from his dad, Jackie Stewart?
How many more questions are there?
Have you seen the nude pictures of Jeff Gordon on the internet? What say you?
Not lately.
In your opinion, why did the South lose the Civil War?
Here we go.
I'm from Canada. I wouldn't know.
It has been said that Dale Sr. died because God needed a driver. Where do you think God needs to be driven to?
Good question.
How many teeth are in the average human head?
Do you know the answer, lady?
How many teeth are in your head?
I got all of them.
Since I am a Vietnam veteran, would you like to thank me for my service to our country?
Sure.
Can you share a positive experience regarding Goody's brand headache powders?
Okay.
Nope. They don't have it at home.
Aren't you glad the FCC cleaned up radio?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, the drinking affected the reading ability and also the subject.
Let's try one more, but we've got plenty more. Let's try another one. Here's Joe with another person.
Hello. I'm Big Joe Ardinger from NASCAR and CBS. May I ask you a few questions taped for broadcast?
Hold on. Here is Joe ready to plead his case.
Joe Ardinger.
Hi, Joe.
I didn't have a beer until about 6 in the afternoon.
So you are totally sober?
What time was that interview done?
Like 4.
Oh, so it's done when it was daylight.
I mean, it was 100 degrees.
Inside the track.
You have those media passes, you have to wear long pants and a sleeved shirt.
That's a drag.
I can't walk around like the other 99% of the stadium with no shirt and pants halfway down my ass.
But they had
wearing sandals with a cold beer in my hand.
But they had no all-access pass, right?
So you're saying the deterioration of the reading is based on heat stroke.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the only reason you had a heat stroke was because you had to wear long pants. But the only reason you wore long pants is because you got the all-access pass, right? So it was kind of a trade-off.
Yeah, it was. But
positive.
I was still exhausted yesterday. I mean, I just started feeling normal today.
Okay, and how many beers after 6 o'clock did you have?
Including last night?
Yeah, including last night.
Including last night. 3 cases.
He's not exaggerating.
Yeah, no, he's not.
He's not exaggerating.
There you go.
Hello. I'm Big Joe Ardinger from NASCAR and CBS.
Hi, Big Joe.
I ask you a few questions taped for broadcast.
He's more knowledgeable. Sure you may.
what would you like to speak about?
Oh, here we go.
What is your name and where are you from?
What did the guy say?
Sure you may. What would you like to speak about?
Maybe we got a winner here.
Here we go.
Randy Gordon, I'm from Virginia Beach.
Okay, Randy.
What brings you to NASCAR this fine evening? Well, I got friends here in Richmond, and I love NASCAR and always follow it on the TV. I'm all about it.
Okay. He's kind of got that Larry Flint sound to him.
Right. Maybe we got a winner here.
Ain't these cars fast? You better believe it. Who is your favorite driver? Ryan Newman. Isn't he the dead one? No, he's not the dead one. He's Ryan Newman and Tony Stewart are my favorite drivers, and Ryan Newman is the dead driver.
Do you like that gay driver?
I haven't met a gay driver.
What was his name again?
I haven't met a gay driver.
It is now the year 2004.
Tricky.
What year do you think we'll see the first African-American Nextel Cup Series winner?
It's going to be a little while from today.
A little while from today.
It's just funny hearing that question asked. But the comfort level.
That's a funny answer.
Oh, we haven't gotten the one guy that we were hoping to go, what the hell are you asking that
That's
for?
That's pretty close, though. That answer pretty well ain't going to be today.
Hey. No.
Wherever he's at.
How do you think the cicadas will affect tonight's race?
I don't think they'll be involved today. They're too far north.
Who do you think will win on Survivor?
I think Tony Stewart would be fine.
What were your feelings?
Put a driver in Survivor.
Tony Stewart in Survivor.
Do all right.
Heard about the death of James Garner.
James Garner, the detective, or James Garner, the Hollywood movie star?
Wait a minute.
But aren't they
He's throwing
same person?
Something else. I thought, is he talking about Rockford?
James Garner played Jim Rockford, who was a detective on TV.
Right? Yeah.
So which are you talking about, Jim Rockford or James Garner?
Now, Joe's holding true. He'll just steamroll right through
next
to the next
question.
Yeah.
I wasn't affected. In your opinion, what is an acceptable percentage of minorities in attendance at a NASCAR event? Everybody and anybody is always welcome. The more the merrier.
I like
the
consistency.
Do you think Tony Stewart learned to drive real good from his dad, Jackie Stewart? No, I think Tony Stewart learned to drive from Indy.
Have you seen the new pictures of Jeff Gordon on the internet? What say you?
I haven't seen the pictures, but I like Jeff Gordon. I think he's an outstanding NASCAR driver and a leader in the sport.
I'd like to see him
in
naked.
In your opinion, why did the South lose the Civil War? Not enough gunpowder.
Oh! Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Not enough gunpowder.
All right.
Yeah! We got Frank Kelly in the waiting. I don't want him to wait on this crap. Let's just hear one more.
All right, very good.
Right. This next one is worth listening to.
Hello. I am Big Joe Ardinger from NASCAR and CBS. May I ask you a few questions today for broadcast?
I don't think so.
How about you?
No, thank you.
Oh, my.
Oh, they seem nice.
Hello, I'm Big Joe Ardinger from NASCAR and CBS. May I ask you a few questions safe for broadcast?
Sure.
What's your name and where are you from?
Andy McFarlane from Winchester, Virginia.
What brings you to NASCAR on this fine evening?
I want to watch the race.
Yeah, boy. Ain't these cars fast?
Yes, they are.
Who is your favorite driver?
Tony Stewart.
I hear that.
Isn't he the dead one?
No, he's not.
Do you like that gay driver?
No, I don't.
What was his name again?
Jeff Gordon.
Yeah.
It is now the year 2004. What year do you think we'll see the first African-American Nextel Cup Series winner?
Come on, 3,000.
Didn't know there was any.
How do you think the...
He didn't even get the question.
No, I didn't understand.
Well, there were,
I was hoping he'd say, like, 3,000.
100 years from now.
3,004.
Cicadas will affect tonight's race.
I don't think they'll have any effect on tonight.
I do
Who
not.
Do you think will win Survivor?
I have no idea. I don't watch it.
What were your feelings when you first heard about the death of James Garner?
Who?
James Garner.
Never heard of him, man.
In your opinion, what is an acceptable percentage of minorities in attendance at a NASCAR event?
Here we go. Come on.
0%.
Oh, my God.
Not so bad.
Oh, dear. Winner! There you go. That's why we send Joe out to do these interviews.
Knew he was out there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Where's that Dixie music?
Oh, you
want
that?
You bet.
Joe Moe.
There you go. That's a job well done. My. Let's hear that one again. From NASCAR.
0%.
Oh.
Do you think...
Back it up with a commercial, dude. Or with the... rather with a question, not the commercial. God.
Acceptable percentage of minorities in attendance at a NASCAR event.
0%.
Do you think Tony Stewart learned to drive real good from his dad, Jackie Stewart?
Nah.
Have you seen the nude pictures of Jeff Gordon on the internet? What say you?
No, I can't say I've seen that.
In your opinion, why did the South lose the Civil War?
Let me see here.
What?
Too many other northern soldiers.
Okay. Yeah!
Too many northern soldiers. Too many of the... And he thought a long time on that one.
Yeah.
Too many of the northern soldiers.
0%.
It has been said that Dale Sr. died because God needed a driver. Where do you think God needs to be driven to?
Oh, he's struggling.
I have no idea.
There you go.
Think about it.
Ether in the average human head. 32.
He got that.
Ether in your head.
All of them.
Since I am a Vietnam veteran, would you like to thank me for my service to our country?
Sure.
Thank you. Can you share a positive experience regarding Goody's brand headache powders?
What's that?
Can you share a positive experience regarding Goody's brand headache powders?
Never used it.
Aren't you glad the FCC has cleaned up radio?
There you go.
No, I can't say that.
Do you find me attractive?
No.
Thanks for your time, man.
All right, that's the...
And little Joe there, you know, not thanks for your time. Thanks for your time, man.
Mm-hmm. That's Joe at NASCAR.
Thanks for listening to Joe Moe.
Thank you.
Joe Artinger, man on the street.
Oh, wow. It only took like five people to get the guy 0%.
Wow.
0%. Why'd the South lose the war?
How you doing?
Too many northern soldiers. We got a break. We'll be right back. We're excited to meet this guy, Frank Caliendo.
We are huge fans of Mad TV.
We'll be right back.
He's the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did you hear I finally graduated?
Yeah, just a shade under a decade, too. All right.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
We are.
I don't like you. Probably need a little. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
Thank you.
Goodbye. The Don and Mike Show.
Bye.
Are we getting that clicking when we get thunderstorms around here?
Goodbye.
This you should not do. You should not say he's an animal. Should not say he's jackal.
Jackal.
Why did you feel clicking? I heard one of those little, you know, those... The clicking sound, like when there's electrical storm activity in the area.
Me don't know.
And like a big giant bolt of lightning.
Me no know.
Come down into our headphones and fry us.
Me know nothing. Here is Frank Caliendo, though.
Hey, Frank.
Frank.
What up,
Frank,
dog?
Frank, hey.
This is the wrong station?
You are funny always, and we are huge fans of yours.
Well, thank you very much.
Back on Mad TV. Do you know how many people watch Mad TV? I'm sure you do.
It's like $5 million a week.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But
NFL on Fox, one of the last sketches I did was $25
million. Right.
I did a Rush Limbaugh sketch. So that's about $7 million. Howie Long once told me, he said, don't care about the ratings on this show because everybody in a bar is watching this show.
Mm-hmm.
There are 40 guys over at one guy's house just hanging out watching it.
Do you get the people like me that say, I mean, I've said it for a long time, and I think there are other people I've heard say the same thing, that... You guys have more of an edge than Saturday Night Live.
We talk about Mad TV now.
Yeah, Mad TV.
TV.
Because I mean, I always I started watching that in place of Saturday Night Live, and I like it more because it just, you guys will do a lot of stuff that seems to me to be a little less safe.
Yeah, and we're edited, you know, so you can do other things, like you can do things with graphics and stuff like that, as opposed to SNL,
right?
Where they have to do everything pretty much 80% of it's probably live.
Mm-hmm.
They do a couple other little things, but if you've noticed, I this is just an opinion. I think some of their things that are taped have gotten more Mad TV ish.
Right.
So
right.
Their live stuff is always best because it's in the moment. I mean, you can't beat a live sketch. If you're going to do like a full sketch for 4 minutes,
you know, it's in an acted out sketch with a character. Mm-hmm. You can't beat the live because the energy's there and it's like, oh my God, you know.
You know, I'm going to blow a little smoke because I'm an enormous fan of yours. And one of the things that when I've watched Saturday Night Live, I always said they could use a guy like Frank on Saturday Night Live. They've got some a great history of great impressionists on Saturday Night Live. But I think right now they could use, I mean, just the versatility you have.
I was actually offered it by the president of NBC, not Lorne Michaels.
Uh-oh.
So I had heard through the grapevine Jay Moore, Jim Brewer, some other guys that said basically you don't want to even try it because if they try and force you onto the show,
right?
Then you,
and Lorne's dead. Not a part of it?
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know if I would have gotten it for real.
Mm-hmm.
But Jimmy Fallon was there.
Right.
This was his second year, mm-hmm. and Daryl Hammond was there and was going to be there, and he's still there.
Right.
So for me to sit there, I needed to do is I'd never done a sketch off of TV. All I did was I was traveling around doing colleges and, clubs, and, mm-hmm. and I was just doing these impressions, and I'd never acted before.
But the best on Mad TV was like the stuff like Rod Roddy. Okay. Never on Saturday Night Live.
Rod loved the impression that I did of him. And he was,
and of course, ladies and gentlemen, regretfully, he has passed.
When he was showing people in his hospital room, he was supposed to walk on.
And I'm not laughing.
He was supposed to walk on to the show, and he was too sick to do it. He loved it. He was a great guy. And, we did this, the final sketch that we did, the one we did before he passed away, before Mad TV started inventing new ways for me to do it by doing caveman versions and stuff like that.
Hey, those are funny. You don't like those?
No, they're fine. This one was great, though, because it was Rod Roddy breaking up with his wife.
I know. They're all great.
I've loved you my entire life. I'd like to be together forever. And then she says, it's Mo Collins playing his wife, and she's like, I'm sorry, Rod, I want a divorce.
Well, I guess my wife is going to get half of everything I own, including a brand new car!
And you have to see it. You're wearing the baggy sequin jacket. Oh, yeah.
And you get the smile, too, with the...
fancy smile to the camera right after the line is done. I was actually told in taping one time, don't look at the camera so much. I go, I'm an announcer.
It's a new Corvette.
And the straight from the back seat, it's some friendship. Well,
I always liked Jimmy Kimmel on the Fox show. You know, he would do stuff that was edgy. They'd come back and those dopes, most of who have been on the show, so we can call them dopes, would like sit there and go, he's not funny, but you know he's funny. So Jimmy Kimmel leaves, and we think, who are they going to get to fill in? When you started, it was a little rocky, but I'll tell you when you absolutely won me over. And it wasn't even your performance. It was, I felt they were telling you, don't do stuff that where these guys are going to cringe when you come back from the break. You did a bit last year where you played all of the guys, including JB. And they put Frank in makeup. And, I mean, he didn't do like the, you know, hello, Dad. This am James Brown.
Right,
I mean,
right.
He did absolutely. It was James Brown.
The words, the most important words were the ones that we originally had didn't work. And I'd heard him do this this eulogy for Otto Graham had passed away, and he was like, Otto Graham was a great man, and I heard him do that. So we were trying to write the bit, and it was like JB originally said, I don't think it's bad. I don't think he's bad. And I go, that's not what JB would say. I go, personally, I didn't think it was that bad. So I kept saying that over and over, and I'm like, personally, I didn't think it was that bad.
So you write it around making it sound, which is what it's all about.
Because at the time, I couldn't say other things.
Right, right.
I could say that, and I just squeaked out, and let's go back to Julian Barber. I tried to get that. And so when we did the bit, for people who didn't see it, which is most people, it's on my website, by the way. You can play it back.
It's the best thing
I've ever done. And it's madtvguy.com or frankcaliendo.com. Nobody can spell it.
So he does all of the, in this bit, you did. You were Bradshaw,
Howie Long, JB, and Jimmy.
But the JB is the best because at the end they go to a split screen. Because which one of them didn't believe that it was really you?
JB didn't think that.
James Brown.
Here's the background. We had told him that, we had asked him if it was okay to do him because we didn't know if it was going to be.
Right.
So, and he's like, oh yeah, you got to do me. You got to do me. So
he's a great guy. I mean, we've had him on the show
phenomenal.
Times. He's
really
got a great sense of humor.
So he was great with it. He's like, it'd be wrong if he didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So he thinks, well, I'll set up the bit for you. So I'm at the fake bar, which I did every, like, most of the weeks, and I'm like, listen, Fox usually gives me two minutes to do these bits. I don't know who I ticked off, but I'm only getting 30 seconds this week. You pour Joe Namath a couple of free drinks and look what happens right after that.
So Susie Culver, right.
So I make the picks, and I throw it back to, I go back to you. No characters, back to you guys. As me as Terry Bradshaw. That was not funny, Frank. Not funny, not funny, not funny. That was the not funniest segment Frank has ever done, Frank. Not funny. And then as Howie was a little bit weaker and like he wasn't trying to be funny, he was just making his picks. And then JB, personally, I didn't think it was that funny.
You hear it.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, and hearing it, it's just as great, but you had to
you
see.
You know what? Go to my website. Can you see if you can see a buzz, can you go, pull it up on the website. All you need is there's a picture of the front first page.
Right.
Is me as all four guys.
Do you have it there, Buzz?
So then, what
I'm
it
working
does,
on it.
It cuts to me as Jimmy Johnson and say, I thought it was great, but how's my hair? And I'm spraying it. Cut to Howie Long, I've got a level on my head. Cuts back to Bradshaw. There's a guy with a power buffer
on
the bald head.
Now, when you do a great bit like that, and that was like a memorable bit. I mean, really, I'm sitting there. I swear to God, I fall on the floor. I'm laughing. How long do you write that? Do you improv that? Do you go in and just shoot stuff?
Well, because it was split camera, we're doing a lot of different things. So we shot two on one day. JB and Terry on one day, and then another day was Howie and Jimmy. So we split them up like that because you have to do it for the sides. You know, there's four,
right.
Split up into four.
Right.
You do two on the left, two on the right, and then put it all together. You know, so basically put four together.
It was a table of four pranks all talking with each other. And the other thing, of course, you're famous for is the Madden.
Well, I got to tell you about the Madden because, you know, I do Madden on this show, and I told Frank before he came in here that the Madden that I do, and I've done that a lot with great impressionists, is I don't do an impression of John Madden. I do an impression of Frank Caliendo doing... You know, doing John Madden, and I will tell you, when I got TiVo, the first thing that I wore the TiVo out with was the bit that he did on Mad TV. That was probably a throwaway bit for you, but it was the popcorn popper.
We both saw that one.
Yeah, I didn't do it because I was trying to learn how to do John. I was just watching it because I thought it was the funniest goddamn thing I've ever seen with you progressively getting more agitated and then burning yourself. As John Madden with a, hey, folks, it was just, I love that.
The thing about that is that that's what makes us different from Saturday Night Live. You couldn't do that bit.
Exactly. No, that'd be impossible to do it because, I think when you throw in, and it's almost all like, you know, a little Monty Python with the burn
right,
makeup
right.
And then, you know,
and
blood,
the end move,
blood spurting.
It was a lot of different things because the end move was kind of Farley-ish. Where I'm like,
right. Exactly.
Amazing. And then go, dear sweet heaven, what the heck just happened?
But even when you do it on the Fox show, and it's great, now that Madden left Fox, I guess he's fair game.
You saw it early on when he was doing it on the Fox show, right?
You did one. You just eating chicken wings. Yeah. And you got them all over your mouth. And
I've gotten into a lot of trouble for those.
And they come back from the break, and you know that the dummies on the show, they want to laugh at it.
Right.
But they're all afraid to laugh because it's the great John Madden. And
we've had John Madden on this show
like
a million
Santa
times.
Claus.
Have you met Madden?
You know
how he feels?
He doesn't like you doing it?
He basically said, you know, guys, people think that he is me, and he is not me, but people think, and he says the things that people think that I say, and I don't say those things, and that's why, you know, when you hear him say these things, you think that it's me, and it is me.
I gotta tell you, that is so intimidating,
Frank,
for me, it really is.
You are funny on so many levels with the impressions. Promise us, I mean, it's the first time we met you, but just promise us you're not going to be one of these guys that the next thing, you know, you've signed a deal with someone, and the show is called Frank and Friends for NBC, where you play a wacky guy who's got a guy next door to you and a neighbor. I mean,
but I can make that promise, but how much money are we basing
on? Yeah, the guy's not going to lie, because if he did lie, he'd never be a real boy. Get swallowed by a whale, Geppetto would get mad, and Cricket would start to sing, there you go. I mean,
see, I got a couple observations for you. First of all, John Madden takes the beginning of the sentence, which is the same as the end of the sentence, and then the middle blows up on itself. But he saves it with these words, and the words are, and that's what that's all about, okay?
The great football is about great football, and you got great football players. playing great football. That's the best kind of football to play. But when you have regular players playing great football, I mean, that's just regular great football. What you want is great football, and you don't even hit and that's what that's all about.
It's like a band-aid.
Amen.
Oh, my
Amen.
God.
That is great.
You are great. You know, really, I think when you do what you do for a living, if you can get in a career one guy like that. I mean, you look at a guy like David Fry who had Richard Nixon. I mean, and there are a lot of guys that do a million of them, and I think in their entire careers, I mean, I'll use big names. I get, you know, they always talk about Rich Little with Johnny Carson, but even with that, he did so many, but to get one guy and to nail it, I mean, that's just fantastic.
Have you guys heard the Bush yet? The President Bush is my newest big thing.
All right. Okay.
Roll.
Right.
Let's hear it.
I love President Bush because I think it's great we have a president who seems like he's looking directly into the sun, first of all. Always got that look. It's like, could somebody do me a favor? Hand me a pair of sunglasses, because I can't see crap right now. Remember that thing you got wrong? As if there was one like that.
Here's a guy who's underestimating.
That's what that's about. There's an old saying in Texas. Fool me once, shame on you. Shame me once, twice, three times a lady. And the other one that's gotten really huge, and this is only for certain people, but the Jim Rome impression.
Okay.
Guys,
all right.
Really,
well, I've never heard that. Let me hear it.
What a great idea. Me on your show. This is phenomenal. Don and Mike and I am in the jungle, but I'm on the Don and Mike show. How did that happen? Let me tell you. Right now, first, I'm going to pause for no reason.
I swear to God, you got to have a 10-second pause.
This is ridiculous.
Clones,
I am talking to you right now. If you do not hear me, you're probably dead. That is terrible.
Get the gear.
So what we did on Fox, that was the first one that got Bradshaw and those guys going, is I did Jim Rome. And believe it or not, as chubby as I am compared to him, I looked almost exactly like him. And we had a guy playing Al Davis.
See? Okay.
The guy was playing Al Davis, okay? And he was a 103-year-old man, owner of the Oakland Raiders. By the way, the Raiders hated me. But a 103-year-old guy. And he falls asleep during one of Jim Rome's pauses. So at that point, I go, now I'm going to pause for no reason. Wait, pause.
That is a great
Jim Rome. God damn, that is
not a call from George in D.C. George, go ahead.
Yeah, Jim. Thanks for the van. Got a take, and it's not going to suck. We have found the weapons of mass destruction, but they're all invisible.
Great call. Welcome. The president of the free world calling the jungle, letting us know that these weapons are out there, but you can't find them. Oh, hilarious.
That's good.
That is so freaking
right on. And the one thing that changes things, or that gets people about me, is because once I set them up in the act,
right,
I just start going from person to person.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So it's just like I've got bits, you know, and then when I start going, it's just like going from Jim Rome to,
you know, John Madden, we switched to Robin Williams. Who knew?
It's Tino time. It's a little Adam Sandler coming for you. Listen, President Bush is here, and here's Bill Clinton.
I didn't think you'd call me, but that is great. Thank you. I can't believe it does a Chris Rock impression. Come to that guy pulling that one off. Come on down.
Wow.
You're the next contestant. I'm the Price is Right.
God damn.
Caveman days, and here we go. It's snack bag of buns, crunchy shells, crispy wings, low carbs. Snack bag of bugs from Ubco. And they can't be yours if Price Right.
If Price Right.
Because
he's a caveman, right?
It was a caveman.
If Price Right.
With Rock Bunker.
Oh, my God.
Okay, you know, you didn't have to come in and perform. We were just happy to meet you, dude.
I'm a whore.
We're happy to meet you. Now, when you're at the, here's your plug, at the Improv. God, you are a whore. Listen to this. Tuesday through Thursday night shows, Friday nights, Saturday night, two shows, Sunday show. How many shows?
Well, you're doing a Tuesday through Friday?
No. I'm Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the DC Improv.
Oh, it says Tuesday, so you're not there.
Well, I'm going to probably pop in there tonight, but I, you know.
Just to work on some stuff?
No, just to whore it out.
There's a guy who goes to the DC Improv every chance he can to try and sell as many tickets as he can, and then they sell out, and then people can't get in, and then he gets more money next time. And that's what that's all about.
Dude is calling himself out on his promotional tools, and that is terrible. When you come on the Don and Mike show, you don't have to work the DC Improv into every sentence you say.
Rack
you
him.
Just did phenomenal. That's great.
Rack him.
Now, I have on the website, There's downloads, and there's free downloads. There's CDs you can buy and stuff like that.
Okay.
We made these downloads free for Sprint phones. I get nothing from Sprint yet, but I'm working on it.
You're trying.
That's the guy who really doesn't want it.
Yeah. Oh, what tangled webs are woven. First we practice deception, and Wilbur lives, but Charlotte dies. That Charlotte was one sexy spotter. She was.
You know, this is the only guy I've ever heard work a Newbery Award winner into Don and Mike. I think that is great.
Not fun to fight still, not but personally, I didn't think it was that bad. But you can download Al Pacino to your cell phone, which nothing beats having your cell phone go off in the middle of a crowd going, "You got a phone call. You got a phone call. Answer it."
Or, "Hey, folks, John Madd here, and I'm on your cell phone, and I'm probably going to annoy people more than ever." And there you go.
Let me tell you this. I got to tell you this before I forget, because he can turn anything into a Brett Favre reference. He can be talking about the grass in the field, be like,
"Half of that grass is real, and half of that is fake. But Brett Favre is all real." I mean, you could cut off both Brett Favre's arms and both his legs, and he would still be the best torso in football. That's just Brett Favre. I mean, he can throw a football 200 yards underwater. I can't even throw a football 1 yard underwater. But I mean, that's 199 more yards right there. I mean, he can hit any target. Brett Favre has such great arms. He can hit any target he wants. That's why you put Brett Favre in Afghanistan. Boom, he hit Osama bin Laden. And the Packers don't want to get rid of him. They need Brett Favre, because Brett Favre is the Brett Favre of the Packers. And without Brett Favre, they would be the Packers without Brett Favre. And that's what that's all about.
I cannot believe Madden gets mad at that. I just can't believe he doesn't dig it that much.
You are too great.
Fantastic.
You are too funny. You are too great. We are huge fans.
Oh, thank you so much.
Huge fans of yours. Thank you for coming by. I mean, I know you got all these other DJ things to do, and thanks for coming by our show.
Thanks for having me.
We're big fans. What's your website again?
MadTVGuy.com, MaddenGuy.com, MaddenGuy.com.
You got that? Yeah, Buzz?
Mad TV. Yeah, I've got it.
And what is
Mad TV? Loading real player.
When does Mad TV start its new season?
Not till September. When the NFL starts up again too. And can I throw this in here too?
Yeah. Sure can.
Here's a guy who's not even going to plug something. He's just going to tell you about a bit he did.
Okay, throw it in,
dude. That is ridiculous. Get to the bit and stop stalling. I don't know what's going on.
Neither do I. I wish you had some jokes for these voices.
Well, it's Robin Williams' time. It's switching voices without having jokes. Here we go.
And we're dancing. Okay.
The bit that got like Rudy Marsky from USA Today going and stuff like that.
Hey, Rudy, right?
When I did the Rush Limbaugh bit.
Right.
Which was, I came on, and the guys working with me, Scott Long, this week, wrote this joke that we put in there. It was, he was doing a show from the Trent Lott Rehab Center.
I saw that with all thousands of pills.
All the pills around me, and I was like, and I was in a hospital room, like, "Greetings, my friends. When I say my friends, I mean you guys, my OxyContin pills." And I shoveled a bunch of pills. But now, when Rush came back, he's like, "I've seen the bits. I know what's going on out there. Mr. Snurdly, what's the Fox guy's name? The little guy. Well, whatever. I saw that one. That was funny." So he liked it.
Yeah, oh,
he
good. Got, all right. Okay.
Dude, so got the bit. Great. Not doing the Madden thing and pretending like it never happened. Hold on.
I have never heard your Jim Rome.
I'm going to do this for you. Hold on. We just got a huge fax. Rustling the fax so you know that it's here.
You are great.
"Dear Jim." Wait a second. There is nothing on the fax. Being told the fax is on the other side. There it is. "Dear Jim, this is the greatest show you've ever done. You topped yesterday's show, which to that point was the greatest show you'd ever done. Signed, Jim Rome." Fax myself.
Close.
Hysterical close.
Oh, fantastic. That is.
I never knew you did it, Jim Rome. People think he's Rome. Rome's calling in drunk. Like, dude, Rome was drunk.
He
wasn't. It was Caliendo doing it.
Goddamn, that's
fake
great.
Poor stuff at the DC Improv.
Frank, that is
Caliendo
great.
Plugging himself again.
That's awesome. Go ahead and plug at the Improv this weekend. Hold on, I got a DCImprov.com. Go there to get your tickets.
See that Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday?
Thursday, 8:30, Friday, 8 and 10:30, Saturday, 8 and 10:30, and Sunday at 8 o'clock.
Go out and see Frank Caliendo. He's the absolute best in the business.
Well, we have three more shows to do this week. If you wouldn't mind calling in or coming by every day.
I'll be here every day.
I'm in every day.
Phenomenal.
I'm in every day. Seriously, you are fantastic.
Thank you guys very much.
Oh, stop.
It's great to be here.
Dude, good.
I'm going to go take a cold shower.
I'm doing President Bush doing Jim Rome.
Okay, do it.
Phenomenal. It's a great call. Let's go. Jay Moore will be on the program in
Hour number two. Shaq Clank Fu calling in. The Crooked Eye will be. Listen, I don't have a problem with gay marriages. I don't know where you heard that. As long as it's a gay man marrying a gay woman.
Back to Jim Rome.
A gay woman.
Great. Now I'm being banged like the monkey. He's calling out names, but I'm getting more airtime, so I'm sitting in. I don't care. I will bang that monkey just like the monkey banged itself at the Spencer Gifts in and the mall. Of course, back to Madden.
Yeah, you know, and that's what you got to do. If you call it out, I'm going to do it. I mean, there are times, and if you keep going, I'll keep going because I have no problem.
Al Pacino, what the hell is going on here? He starts to zig, and just when you think he's going to zag, wow, he zigs again. I can't believe it.
Wow.
This one's going to keep on going unless you stop.
Wow, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow.
That's fun.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
But thank you for the show.
Yeah,
incredible.
Thank you for having me.
Dude, so did you have a girlfriend? Are you?
I just got married.
You just got married?
I think I just bought myself some extra time on the show.
Yeah, because we've been overwhelmed by this. You know, we actually didn't. You're a newlywed?
My wife, I she's having a baby in July, late July.
You ever do voices while you're getting intimate with your wife?
No, because look at the voices I'm doing.
You know, it goes in, it goes out, boom, I'm done. I mean, it's over.
That was phenomenal. Grab a cigarette.
Racker.
Rack.
Buzz, you got it on the web, turn it around.
Okay, back to Frank.
Okay, turn it around.
I want to take a look. I got
to take a look at
Frank
this.
Frank is more handsome than he is funny.
Now, this is Frank.
Funny.
Being all four guys.
He is handsome.
There he is, Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy, you just raised your hand twice.
I'm the coach. I can do whatever I want. If he gets to, I want to. You don't have anything you can say about it, and I'm going to keep doing it, and I get what he has. Well, this will never sort itself out, so I'm going to throw it back to, well, I guess me, JB.
it would have been something if he had imitated me, right?
And then their reaction.
It was too great. I mean, I watch that show all the time anyway.
Yeah, they're great. If you could see them off the screen, off TV, when they're just going at each other, they're the funniest. They're right on TV.
They really have a good time.
And I still say that I think I have probably that gig, having to follow Kimmel, and then having to go with Terry Bradshaw, who's going to pretend to be Simon Cowell every week. I don't think there's a tougher gig
sure. In
comedy. And I don't think I did. Believe me, I don't think I hit a home run every week. There were about four or five home runs this year.
No. Listen, you get solid triples and home runs. I'm telling you, that's a tough friggin' spot because you have guys, not like me who appreciate it, you have guys that are like, you know what I mean, guys that are like, football is everything, and they're like Julian Barbary because they like a nice girl with big boobs.
Yeah. Well, also, yeah,
when you dive in and you do the impressions of all of them, that's when you take that chance and it went over.
Yeah,
and
then
you cemented yourself.
I went into the studio as Robin Williams with those guys. One time, and I'm like, Howie Long, come on, this is a guy who speaks for Radio Shack. Let me ask you this. Did they hire you or build you? Come on. The hope is green. What's going on here? Bradshaw, here's a guy who supports supercuts. Come on. Would they go crazy? Come on. Talk about steroids. Here we go.
And we're damned.
You know, so they didn't think we could top that one. And then we went in, because every time we did one that was better, they're like, they didn't think we could top it. And then when we did all four guys, we really couldn't top it. Yeah. Because it was just so, because those guys really want to hear about
who does your makeup on is it one
Matt
person?
TV people.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
folks that do that?
Jennifer Aspinall, who used to years ago do Saturday Night Live with Dana Carvey and Phil Hartman. Mm-hmm. She does the makeup at Mad TV and the head of makeup and helped me out at that. And it's just, you know, it's amazing because a lot of things we were doing from scraps. Like, we didn't have the real parts because we weren't, the budget wasn't like that.
But sure.
That makeup, you know, it's Rick Baker kind of stuff. You're talking tens of thousands of dollars.
So that is
in half.
That is such a great spot on that show. And it's such a...
It's come along, you know?
It's one of those things, if you're watching with a group of people, you can easily identify who... First off, you all like football, but then that comes on, and then there are people... I've been in a room with people, but like your Madden comes on, and I'm falling on the floor. And like there's three or four guys that are laughing, and then there's...
You gotta know. You gotta be a fan, first of all, of Madden to get into
and
that.
And then there's one guy sitting there who says, what's funny about this?
Right.
But because he's John Madden.
Right.
Come on, everything's funny about this. Look at this. He's got like 8,000 barbecue chicken wings.
And because I'm such a fan of Mad TV, you're happy there, you're going to be there for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, they just upped the show for three more years, and I'll be on it for For two more.
Yeah.
And you always have to check with Fox. You always have to, make sure with the Fox Network because they lose a lot of good people. They really do.
Well, Frank, thank you for coming in here.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
You're fantastic.
You're right. You are fantastic.
I
really appreciate it, and I thank you guys for having me in.
Thank you for riffing.
You're great. You're funny.
Please get out of here.
Not Frank Caliendo, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Great.
All right. I just clap for myself.
That's all right. We clap for ourselves all the time.
Oh, man. And I will still continue to study you when I'm working on other impressions.
So I had a guy that showed up, and I know you're trying to get rid of me, but
we're not.
A guy showed up in Orlando that looked exactly like President Bush, and he's like, I just want you to know I'll be borrowing your President Bush impression.
Yeah, there you go.
Not the material, but I'm like, well, then I want a percentage.
There you go.
Give me some cash.
Why don't you do Bush on Bush?
No, not going to do it.
Come on.
Fred Travellina, yes. Not Frank Elliott.
Just do one time here for 30 seconds.
When Fred Travellina is in here, I'll try to do that, but it's very difficult to do with Frank Caliendo, and that's
great. It was very impressive.
Thank you. It's time we have to fight, get together. We have to put ourselves together and read Charlotte's Web, like he was mentioning earlier.
Penny saved is that's 1 cent. Spanish centavo that you put in your pocket to the end.
That's one small step for man, and I'll walk around somewhere else.
Yeah, it's a couple of steps petering out.
Ask not what you can do for your country, but how you could help the guy next door.
Yes, and hopefully that guy next door is your neighbor. And it's a beautiful thing.
Wow. That's a draw.
Life is beautiful.
That's a draw, Mike.
Oh, thank you.
You've done good.
Thank you. Don't ask I won't do the Madden. I told him I won't do the Madden.
Greed against Rocky.
I studied him, you know, to do that Madden when I was doing it, and I still don't have it, and I won't do that. I'll embarrass myself, so that's it. You are the best, really. Right. You are the best. I didn't say that when Fred Travellina was in here.
Well, yeah, hey, thanks. Thanks a lot for not saying that when Fred Travellina was in here.
Remember those days? Ooh, that was tough. That was.
Now, Frank, now you got to get out because we talk about you when you leave.
Phenomenal.
Rack me. Great job I did.
Thank you very much.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Go see Frank at the Improv.
Great meeting.
He's going to be there in D.C. this weekend.
Don't be a stranger.
And I am out.
He's out.
Hilarious.
Thank you, Frank.
Is he great? Unbelievable.
He really is great.
The Jim Rome was completely out of left field. I had no idea. Unbelievable.
I really busted one.
Because we had not heard the Jim Rome ever. And we've done, you know, how many of those broadcasts when we've been in one of those DJ rooms with Jim Rome across the way?
Crack him! Well, he's good. He's good.
No kidding.
Boy, oh boy, Mike, is he good.
Yeah, I know he is. Yeah.
Boy, is he good.
I'm feeling inadequate right now.
See, but you went toe-to-toe with the Bush thing with him.
Yeah, well, the Bush, you know, that's one thing. But Madden,
you know. Bye, Frank.
You know what? If I'd done the Madden with him, I would have cried. His Madden is the best Madden ever. No offense. Yeah, I know.
So his Madden is the best Madden ever.
You know, a couple of times there, I was getting ready to stand up and leave. I really was. No. But you know what? Really, I think I deserve credit for sitting here and not crying.
Why would you cry?
Well, it's like, because you know, you're sitting there, you do with that, and then you see another guy that does the same thing, and he does it so well, it's great, you know? I'll be quite honest with you, I wish I was on TV sometimes.
You don't think Frank Caliendo's walking out of here, we're going, hey, I wish it was Mike O'Meara being able to sit there every day and do that great show with all those great guys?
He looked jealous to me.
Yeah.
He really did.
He sure did. We have just enough time for a teeny phone scan. I mean, like, it's like if you're having sex with me. Not that much time.
Absolutely.
So let's chat. 877-365-3636.
Hello.
It's from America, Canada, 800-636-1067. Your call's on the phone scale, and we got to really...
Hello.
We got to fly. Call now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I think Sox had something to do with that decision.
It's not funny.
I beg your pardon?
What word do you have trouble with? You understand not? That's comfortable for you?
Yeah.
And funny, you've heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This doesn't work. See, I think Sox had something to do with that decision. See, now I'm laughing.
Well, laugh loud so you can cover for the rest of us.
Hey, you like your job?
No.
Well, watch it. You may go.
Oh, may I? Thank you. Come on, sis.
Watch it, asshole.
The Don and Mike Show. Smoother than Bacardi Limon, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Bacardi Limon.
It's smoother than that. Phone scan, and we really got to fly because we're into Buzz News time now. Hey. Been just too much show today. Dennis Murphy from Los Angeles.
Wow.
Great show.
Joe at NASCAR. Frank Caliendo.
Gee,
Pinocchio, I guess this is what it might be like to have a real radio show.
You know, it sure feels like it today, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, don't worry. Tomorrow we'll be back to the same joke.
Same mediocrity.
Actually, we had to bump a guy today. We had to bump the Broadway show tune guy today.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
He's furious. The guy's really worried, but we're going to bring him back.
The guy who says the best way to get over 9/11 is by singing show tunes.
Hello, Dolly.
I asked him if he had any availability the rest of the week. He said, yeah, name it.
Shocker.
Yeah.
He was waiting in the green room.
Here we go, 877-365-3636. A phone scan. Hello, these are unscripted calls, unscreened calls. Hello.
Donnie G, I have a feeling something good is about to happen to you.
Okay, Rick, what is it?
Ooh, if I could be your daddy and you could give me a Cadillac.
Okay. Great guy. I think we got a regular caller.
Yeah. 2 days in a row now to your dad. Daddy for the caddy.
And he's disguising his voice every time.
And what if Rick Dees was my father?
You know what would happen to you? You'd be up on the roof.
Hello, Don and Mike. That means I would be a stepbrother to Johnny Dees.
You'd be up there doing your cicada impression.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys heard about Shannon Sharp on CBS. NFL today?
Yeah, you know, we didn't have time to get to a lot of the stuff that I wanted to discuss. They have replaced Deion Sanders on the CBS show with
retiring Shannon Sharp.
With Shannon Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, friends. Jim Nance. Oh, and I told all you guys, I didn't tape it because I don't tape anything. I only watch stuff and tell other people to tape it.
Right.
When I was watching the golf on Saturday, I only watch golf because it's in high definition.
Right. Is Jim Nance giving another eulogy?
Here's the thing. It's obvious that Nancy felt weird about reading the slug for Helter Skelter.
Yeah, because it's too violent.
I'm sure. It'd be like this would be.
Defensive sensibilities.
Tiger Woods lining up at the 17. Lenny, he's got his stroke back. This reminder, Sunday night. Oh. There is parental guidance advised, graphic images. Helter Skelter, Sunday night. Here on CBS. America's most watched network.
You know, in private, he's saying, I don't understand, guys, why they make entertainment out of that.
Yeah.
It's a vicious, vicious, savage murder that really shouldn't be glorified.
Why should they glorify that when they could be making a movie that just shows class?
Like radio.
Yeah.
Why don't they make a movie about Vinny, our guy on the tower that just went in for surgery?
Then
I'm watching.
Here is my only thought. Shannon Sharp will be great on that show.
Okay.
However,
will he be as good as Sterling?
Here's what you need. Here's what you need to do. First, he has to have more buttons than Dion.
Yeah.
First, you put him in a 9-button suit.
Yeah. Listen, Sterling and Shannon Sharp, I think really...
And second...
They can trump Dion on the look.
No, you know, Sterling does it. Sterling Sharp is the guy that played for the Packers.
Right.
Shannon Sharp is the guy that played for the Broncos. If you remember when the Broncos...
Shannon, right.
If you remember when the Broncos won the Super Bowl...
I think he's fantastic.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, no.
You know we didn't get to this today.
Now look what you've done.
Hello, Mr. Drosdale.
Yes, now it's time to have some prepared Bitman comedy.
Sammy Sosa, hello. Sammy Sosa took himself out of the lineup the other night.
Why's that, Mr. Shannon?
He threw his back out when he went into a sneezing frenzy. Apparently, he's allergic to cork.
Oh, cork back joke.
God. Cork!
What was I saying?
You're talking about Sterling Sharp.
Oh, thank you.
Shannon Sharp replacing Deion Sanders.
When the Broncos won the Super Bowl, he wore a hat, a horse hat, in the locker room. Now, what it was is, it's the thing that the dumb fans wear. It's a hat, you know, on the Broncos helmet that's a horse's face? Well, it's this hat that was like Smarty Jones's face.
Right.
White plastic and goes all the way down over his forehead, down towards the bridge of his nose, and where the horse's mane would be, I mean, or the hair coming out of his head, was like a giant Broncos pom-pom.
Right.
And after the Super Bowl, everybody's crying for John Elway and saying how great this is. And Shannon Sharp came in, I still remember, wearing the horse hat.
Lenny put on that spectacular horse hat. Pure class.
My recommendation is that Deion Sanders wear the Denver Broncos horse hat.
Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp every week that he's on TV.
Will Deion resurface on another network?
Deion wants too much money to have.
Ah, okay.
And Deion wants a bling bling.
He's also got outside interests. I believe this year he's hosting the Dove Awards.
Ah, wonderful.
Thank you for the call. Do you know what Deion Sanders did last year to augment his income? Did you know that he was the host, I'm not kidding, host of the American Sportsman?
Was he really?
On ESPN?
Really?
He was.
Wow.
Hello there.
I think he's a hunter.
I seen him fishing.
Okay.
I seen him out there. Really, it was like Deion Sanders?
Hey, you know, whatever, to make a buck, you know. It's name recognition.
Right? Don Mike, and he was making $1 million. He wanted $2 million. CBS told him to get bent.
Bring in Shannon.
Bring in Shannon Sharp. And don't forget the horse hat. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Sugar Bear.
Oh, hi. It's my wife, Frida.
Oh, Frida's on the line.
Frida, my wife.
I've missed you, darling, but where's Bart?
He's working, honey. You know that.
I was just wondering.
Yeah. I got hiccups.
Yes, I was wondering whether Barty would be coming home late tonight.
That's like Jonathan Winters calling in.
You're trying. Were you just trying to work all of my wife's catchphrases in here?
Like old Maudie Frickett calling in.
I really wanted to say that, Mikey, you're still the best.
Oh, God bless
you. I love you, Mikey.
Thank you.
Unlike you, freaking loser. Sound like a Harden and Weaver, like when Harden and Weaver used to do that. What's the weather, Maudie?
Frickett.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, dear.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
No, too much. I brought out all the impressions.
Not 2 days in a row. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to tell Mike that he's a very good impersonationist. And what do you make?
Let's stop it there.
Yeah, a very good impersonationist.
You're a good impersonationist.
That might be the first time I've ever heard that one. Yeah. A good impersonationist.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hi there.
Yes, I love your voices, Mike.
Mo, Mike's a good impersonationist.
What?
Mike's a very good impersonationist.
Is this a man or a woman?
Yes.
This is scary.
See, you know what? You know the thing? Now all of the...
Now he's the Frank Caliendo.
All of the part-timers are calling
him. Yeah, I mean, they're auditioning for Mad TV. You know, I didn't do it. I don't think anybody else should.
No, it's shameful, really.
Hello?
Hello? Yes. Are you guest yet?
Are you, like, going through a processor or something?
What?
Are you going through a machine, a computer, or a voice processor?
Nope. I'm not going through any machine. I'm just talking.
They're all out. Did Caliendo bring these people to us?
I don't know.
Yes, he did.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for clearing that up. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, guys. What's going on?
Well, Frank Caliendo may have brought them in, but Mike, you're taking them all home. Because you are a good impersonationist.
I want to be called that for the rest of my life.
Impersonationist.
Impersonationist.
You like that better than Mimic?
I do. Oh, Mimic. No, of course, that's always my thing with Gordon.
Mike O'Mara, talented Mimic.
Mike O'Mara is a good Mimic. He does me better than I do me. Where's my bowl?
The yellow bowl?
Yes.
The last one is when someone called you a voice imitator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike.
Impersonationist.
Hello.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, you're on the air. Hi there.
All right. Hey, I wanted to share with you an interesting and scary fact that I recently learned.
All right, go.
That the KGB, the letters, you know, the Russian KGB?
Sure.
Originally stand for, you know, in Russian translated, the Homeland Security Department.
Interesting.
Wow.
That is a nice little
coincidence.
That gets you a chime, my friend.
Okay.
Hello, Don. Okay. Hello.
Hey, Radio Gods, can you guys send Dennis Murphy this year to Burning Man in Reno, Nevada?
What is Burning Man?
It's the largest party in the world. It's over Labor Day or Memorial, whatever, the end of the summer. And they have over 25,000 people come to the Red Rock Desert.
Would someone set Dennis on fire?
No.
Why do they call it Burning Man?
I guess the story was a guy who used to get beat up in San Francisco by his dad, so he had a man on the beach, and every year they would set it on fire in protest of his father. So it got so crazy.
No, I'm sorry.
Sounds like a really great party.
Sounds like maybe you paid a little bit too much to the party, not exactly the theme of the party.
So they have a party every year in Reno called Burning Man because a guy beat up his kid?
Well, so the kid protested, and
what? Did he burn somebody in effigy, or what? Burn a dummy?
Yeah. I've never been there, and I've always wanted to hear it on national radio.
You want to hear what, the Burning Man party?
Yeah, Dennis Murphy to Burning Man.
You know, we got an idea guy here.
Uh-huh. And it's really in a roundabout way. I mean, so difficult explaining himself, but I mean, that's what it is.
We've hired a producer. She starts in a couple of weeks. Thank you, though.
Good day, guys.
Remember, you're a listener, not a caller, and you just should feel lucky you're not going in the book today.
Amen.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio God.
That guy was book worthy.
Yeah. He was.
Hello.
Radio God.
Yeah, you're on the air. Howdy.
I don't want to steal any of Buzz's thunder or anything.
Of course not.
You guys hear that. Buzz, I love you.
Uh-huh.
Did you all hear that Seacrest is out for good? They're canceling his show.
Oh, my God.
You
know, one thing
we have to do. We have to do it.
No choice
I'm
here.
I'm sorry. What's your name, sir?
What's my name?
Yes.
Justin.
Justin, last initial, please.
Justin N.
Justin N.
Justin N.
N.
Justin Seacrest. Out. Seacrest. Out.
Let's see. What you're calling?
Seacrest. Out.
Calling from area code 302.
Newark, Delaware, friends.
Delaware. Okay.
Seacrest out.
Seacrest out. Seacrest.
Yeah, out.
Out. Don't hang up.
Here's the okay. Well, it doesn't matter. We got his phone number. Here's the deal.
I'll take one for the team.
No, you're not taking one for the team.
You're taking this for you.
You're taking it because you deserve it.
Yeah, you deserve it. We had this several times during the broadcast today.
It was our opening. Our opening was Leonard Goldman. Mm-hmm.
Yes, who was Tony Randall.
Tony Randall is dead.
Had that earlier.
Ryan Seacrest's show is canceled. And we even talked to the girl that won the chance to be on the show, and she's still going out there to say on TV that gay Don and Mike love Ryan Seacrest.
See, I was in class all day. You look at all the Don and Mike fun that I missed.
My friend, listen to this. Listen to what you made us do.
Okay.
Congratulations. You've been elected as a charter member in the Don and Mike exclusive listeners club.
Congratulations.
You are now a registered Don and Mike caller and are entitled to all the privileges that come with said title.
Get a sign.
Be sure to watch your mailbox for your registered Don and Mike caller sign.
Right.
Which is to be placed prominently in your front yard. You have been profiled, tagged, and you are now in the book.
Yes, good day.
Good day.
Oh.
I said good day, sir.
Good day, sir.
Good day.
Thanks, guys.
All right, see you never.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's a tough day when we got to put two people in the book.
That's 000000000009 and 10?
No,
it's 000000. Let's just skip all the zeros. What's his number?
Ten. So you're both guilty of the zero thing. You get zero us to death here.
All right, that's what I'm saying. I'm advocating.
I think we just go to 10.
Yeah, I'm advocating we drop the zero.
Fantastic.
Because eventually it will get to 7, 8, 9 digits.
True. Oh, absolutely.
You know, long before
thousands.
Long before our contract
we'll
is over.
We have to restructure the computer program. We have to leave the zero.
Right now, he's number 10. Number 10.
0000000.
Shut up.
Owning a radio was strictly forbidden.
Verboten.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It was Buzzy.
Ask me. He made it up.
All right, Buzz. We're running short today.
I know.
I'm sorry about that.
Understood. Great show.
But we have time for news and comments. As always, what is your lead story, Buzz?
Today, four people have been arrested for the beheading of Nick Berg.
Ooh. Oh, there you go.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show. That was very professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crestbot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They will do you proud every time. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Hey, news fans, Buzz fans, sorry we had too much stuff today with Frank Caliendo from...
Caliendo.
Caliendo.
Right.
Right, like I said, Frank Caliendo.
Mm-hmm. Frank Califano.
From Mad TV and Joe at NASCAR. And anyway, time for Buzz with News.
Yeah.
A Buzz brought to you by Smoke Break.
What does that say?
This is good smoke.
Smokers break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break.
This is good smoke.
The revolutionary tablet for smokers is available now at fine retailers. And I'm kidding, of course, with his name. Thanks very much to Frank California, who is great. He's the reason we're late today.
He's fantastic. I love Frank Petroselli.
And now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, four people have been arrested in connection with the beheading of American Nick Berg, whose decapitated body was found 10 days ago in Baghdad. No identities or other details are available. If you recall, there were five people standing behind Nick in that now infamous tape. His name, by the way, is now the number one hit on search engines.
Isn't one of the guys, like one of the, I know, we do we still have the deck of cards?
I have them at home.
They're still out there.
But I mean, yeah. Are we still, the U.S. Army, the Navy, Air Force, Reserve, everybody, are they still going on? Cause
I think this guy's an Al-Qaeda guy.
Wasn't
right.
the guy, though, the main guy in that, the one of the five guys mm-hmm. who was in the beheading, maybe the guy that actually even did it.
Right.
Wasn't he the Iraqi's most wanted?
In the deck of cards? I think he was.
No, it's not him. Rob just gave me a regular Jack of Spades.
Right. No, that wouldn't be it.
That's not it, Rob.
No, it's not him.
God, I bet it's a guy. You know, I bet
the
guy.
It's a good side profile. No, and this guy, this King guy, that's not him either, Rob.
Is it a girl?
No.
No.
Then I don't know who it is.
Don't you remember the special deck of cards we had made with the Rackies?
I don't think so.
We had them made. We printed them.
Well, I mean, we meaning the American people.
Put them, and I have that at home, and I'll look through there and see the. But I thought that the cards were basically Iraqi guys.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, isn't this guy that was accused of beheading him, isn't he supposed to be an outsider that came in
right.
from Syria?
Right, one of Osama's guys, and apparently he is not among
of
the group.
Of course he's not.
Arrested today for the beheading.
Right. Thanks to Frank Kornikova for coming by today.
First class American private first class Lindy England just keeps on giving.
Now, is this the girl that was on 60 Minutes?
Yes, and the girl in the other famous
photos.
The girl
who really, before you judge this poor lass, mm-hmm. just remember, I think she's not quite right.
Giving, she keeps giving, and she keeps giving details of the prisoner abuse a little at a time. The latest, she says the prisoners were forced to wear maxi pads and crawl through broken glass. Private England says she and others only abused prisoners because they were ordered to do so.
I bet Rumsfeld thought of that one.
Rummy.
She says she and baby's daddy, Corporal Charles Grainer, used needles and thread to sew up the wounds they had inflicted on those orders.
Needles and thread.
Regular needles and thread to sew up the wounds they created that they said that they only created because they were told to
I've seen her, and I've heard people say she's butch, mm-hmm. that, you know, she's dykey, yeah. that she's masculine. I want to say this.
Catty.
What's her name, Buzz?
Lindy England.
And I'm not leading into the VD thing. I do
Each
wanna...
time I see a little girl...
Yes, Ed?
...of 5 or 6 or 7...
Or 20 over in Iraq.
I can't resist a joyous urge to smile and say...
Hello!
Thank heaven...
Yeah, Lindy.
Yeah.
For little girl...
Let me just say...
What a sweetheart.
You can't spell G-I... Or you can't spell girl without G-I.
There you go.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah, she's all woman.
Isn't her name Lindy English?
Yeah, it is.
England.
Lindy England. Doesn't that sound like she'd be a porn star?
Yeah.
Lindy England.
And maybe Lucky Lindy, as I like to call her.
Isn't it like L-I-N-D-E-E or something?
L-Y-N-D-D-I-E.
Yeah.
Lindy England.
Redneck white trash spelling.
There you go.
One day we'll
come on. Make him crawl through glass.
I'm a pretty girl. Here's your maxi pad.
I'm sorry, you're bleeding, but I'll sew it up for ye.
Hello, Mr. Rumsfeld. This is Lindy. I'm doing your work with maxi pads.
Yes, sir. And then when they get cut up, we've done closed the womb with sewing thread.
This is the war I like so bad.
Thank heaven.
I'm all girl.
Yeah.
Thank heaven.
I cut my hair real short, though.
Thank you, Edward, man.
Thank heaven for little girl.
Hello.
Not that little. And from our Homeland Insecurity Department, a story from Denver. The principal of an elementary school burst into a first grade class and approached each student saying, bam, 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 you're dead. He did it to illustrate the importance of the school rule about locking the classroom doors. This was one room he'd found unlocked.
No, he's not retarded.
One mother says her boy still hasn't gotten out of bed since the incident.
I want to thank famous comedian and impressionist Frank Kajagoogoo for coming in earlier today.
He wasn't too shy. Other parents say their kids were...
Hey, Buzz.
Other parents say their...
Name it and claim it.
Their kids were traumatized as well by the principal. No comment yet from school officials. And by the way, in England yesterday, a man was sentenced to 3 months in jail after he challenged a fellow airline passenger to step outside and fight during a flight. The 30-year-old says he just finished a bottle of vodka.
Oh, my God. Step outside.
Oh,
Man, I haven't laughed that much since Frank Chipotle was here.
Now, pay attention, Rob, because this is how it begins.
Okay.
The Canadian War against the United States. It begins, apparently, with pizza. The U.S. has struggled with its brother to the north for years over import-export items like wheat, lumber, and livestock. Now the commodity controversy is over frozen, self-rising pizzas.
Incredible!
Ottawa says it'll slap a 39% tax on said pizzas when they're made in the United States. But they say the U.S., specifically the people at Kraft Foods, fired the first volley by dumping ridiculously underpriced pizzas on the Canadian market, hurting the sale of Canadian pizzas.
Say, Kraft baby marshmallows, cover with feta cheese. serve it all with pickles and just a little brie, and then cover it with eyelashes, another delicious taste treat from Kraft.
Write your congressman, and remember, you can't...
Daddy, where's the toenails?
Ah, yes, toenails for flavor and texture.
This pepperoni tastes like an invasion!
Another pleasant invasion from Kraft.
Rack him!
Maybe you've gotten the email announcing a nationwide gasoline boycott on for tomorrow. It says we can really show the oil companies were fed up with skyrocketing prices. Mm-hmm. The email says the industry would choke on its own supplies even with just a one-day boycott.
I'm in.
Provided everyone in America plays along.
No problem at all. Can take care of it. I will be there tomorrow.
Did you fill up today?
I sure did.
You filled up today. Of course you did.
Yes. A spokeswoman for the oil industry says that's not true. No choking. Quoting her, I don't know where they get that. Quoting an economics professor, it's hard to think of anything less effective than a one-day boycott.
I think they have to choke you out, Buzz. Is that what the kids say? Choke you out?
Yeah, choke you out.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I think the industry is saying that, and I think that's just the reason people ought to do it.
I got that email today from, it's been like 1,000 people, and you can always tell it's valid when it says, this is not a joke.
Yeah, that's how you know.
You know what? And you said I filled up yesterday. I did fill up yesterday. I'm going to walk to work tomorrow.
Good for you, Mike.
I'm going to hoof it.
Really?
Started about 8 in the morning. I'll be here.
I'll look for you. I'll look for Sky Fox.
Hey, you know, tomorrow I will have B.O.
Yes.
Like you didn't today.
Hey!
What's next? We got a break, Buzz. What's next?
I'll tell you who isn't making money off the higher gas prices.
Who isn't making money off the higher gas? Now, that's impossible because everybody makes money off the higher gas.
No, not everyone, Don.
You're a tricky conjurer.
You
are.
You know,
no, I'm not making money. Mike's not making money off.
I know why you're saying I have B.O. because there was a prettier girl in here early, if you know what I mean, right? Frank Caballero.
Like he didn't have B.O. too?
Yeah, well, it was horrible.
He had Betsy. See?
Now I feel better.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Stiffalicious, the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, chisel on my nizzle. And good tune time. 10 minutes until the hour. Buzz, what did you have on your forehead there?
Number 56 to remind me when to stop tonight.
There you go. Plenty of time. We're a little late tonight because of Frank Korncob, a very talented impersonationist who came by. I want to dedicate this to a very talented mimic who suffers from B.O., Mr. Michael Barron.
Thank you, Don.
For you, Junior Walker, the outside.
Tight. Impressionationist, Don.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Junior Walker. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. If someone named Apu is making money off the higher gas prices, he isn't the manager of the Quickie Mart. Gas prices are up by nearly 50 cents a gallon over last year to record high levels. The profit margin on gas at a convenience market has always been slim, and it's gotten even slimmer as prices go up. If you spend $1.088 for gas, the convenience store owner paid a dollar for it. He gets to keep the 0.088 cents.
So there's not a big profit margin for him.
Very, very small. The result is convenience store managers actually wait longer to raise their prices than the managers of just plain gas stations. And the more the customers spend on gas, the less they're spending on Slurpees.
Don't you think that this whole thing with gas prices, even though everybody agrees it's an outrage, it's going to be one of those things, $2 a gallon is going to become norm, just like $10 for a movie ticket is norm now.
Well, in Europe, they've been paying a fortune for gas for years.
Right, $5 to $10 a gallon.
We pay the cheapest gas prices in the world.
And I've not noticed, listen, I drive one myself, I've not noticed like a less SUVs pulling in to fill up.
No, I mean, everybody's still doing it. I mean, and you know, it just, if it keeps going up, of course, people will start complaining.
There are more drive-offs and more gasoline thefts now because of the higher prices, they say.
Oh, I've seen at the Exxon, they got the thing that says, the picture that says, you drive away, you lose your license. What, Robbie?
I was going to say, as long as gas remains cheaper than Evian,
yes,
it'll be okay.
Yes, amen, the nectar. Thank
like
you, Rob.
$5 a gallon.
It's delicious.
And
it's better than other waters.
Water.
In my humble opinion.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen that Penn & Teller show called Bull S?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my.
Sorry. Good gag.
Just spit all your water out.
I'm sorry.
They did one once.
I haven't done that in a good long time.
Bugs hit me to the show.
Yeah.
And Bart and I were talking
back
about
back on
it.
Again with new
See,
episodes.
I'm trying harder today because of Califano.
Uh-huh.
I know you are. That's great.
Yeah, I know.
It's great.
What, that I'm trying harder?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, because I guess I phone it in every other day.
No. Hey,
hold on. You right. can't have it both ways.
Don't insult me anymore today.
You said
if
it.
You go to your bag of tricks
you
and insult me anymore
you
today,
you
starts out with B.O. and it ends up, yeah, that's great. I'm glad you're trying
you
harder.
Said, you said you're doing a little more
no,
today.
No, I'm not. I'm not. You know,
you
can't wash my jock. There you go. All right, I've said it. Frank Candy Apple.
Fast food restaurant.
Like you don't have B.O.
Thank you.
Thank you,
that's
Don.
True.
You don't have B.O.
Oh, I do now.
Stop spelling yourself.
Oh, God,
well,
do
the
I.
Peer pressure after Frank Christmas tree.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, the
after Frank who?
Frank Christmas tree.
Very good, yes.
Fast food restaurants are starting to bogart the napkins. The heyday is over for fast food joints. And
the heyday.
Their profit margins are shrinking, so they're getting rid of the napkin dispensers and keeping the napkins behind the counter to be distributed to one paying customer at a time. Quoting the father of four, you should be able to grab as many as you want. He bought four ice cream cones and got two napkins. Georgia Pacific says its customers are cutting their orders for paper products by nearly a third.
You know, I agree. That's one of your rights as a consumer.
Yeah.
When you go into McDonald's or Burger King, oh, you're a restaurant owner.
Look around, cafe.
You know, too bad.
Hey, you know what? You come in there, you order wings at my place, you get a stack.
You balance it out today. Yeah. You want to say the B.O. stuff, and you said the thing that you're pushing harder today than any. But who got how many plugs for your bar today?
I did, and you know what? All the napkins you want.
All right.
I think you go into McDonald's, you get a hamburger. What the hell? Take every goddamn napkin they got out of mm-hmm. that thing. Just take it out.
And then, like, a month later, the next person that comes in has to pay more for his Big Mac.
That's right.
It's just not fair.
You know, you're so jaded since you went to the other side, buddy.
Look around, cafe.
Hey, you know what? Abundanza. Paper products, you go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Really?
Wow.
Use a whole roll of toilet paper.
Even on ladies' night on Wednesdays?
Thank you.
Thanks. Look around, cafe.
In sports, ESPN.
When's BO night?
BO night. Every night of the week. I was just going to say, like a little kid. Every night you're there.
ESPN. Is being...
Your brain's got this shell on it.
Now it's gotten ugly.
Was that a walkie-talkie? Over Roger.
Oh, man.
We're out of time. Finally, in Binghamton, New York, a recent Motel 6 guest is in trouble with the law. They left the light on for Roger Chamberlain last week, but when he checked out, the cleaning crew discovered that everything in his room, everything, including the mattress, the bedspread, the TV set, the chairs, the carpeting, and the towels, covered with a thick coat of Vaseline petroleum jelly.
Oh, thank goodness. I thought you were going to say a thick coat of something else.
Jeez. Turns out Rogers from...
It's a man-made product, what I was thinking of.
Rogers, well, that might be there, too. Rogers from Virginia, which is where police caught up with him, but even that wasn't easy since Roger was also covered head to toe with Vaseline.
petroleum jelly. And he's from McLean, Virginia.
Uh-huh.
So we should try to get him on the show. Right?
I'm sure he'd be very excited to
get him. Well, he made the national news.
He's a hard man to get a hold of.
Yeah, I think you're going down a slippery slope there.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don Mike Show.
Who was in today for you, Buzz?
Would Dan Rather come by the show? You decided to pick your game up today? Christ. I like it when I'm good and mediocre and everybody else is, too. I'm trying to bring it down to my level tomorrow.
Have fun now.
That's it. We got to go. We'll see you with a new episode tomorrow. Good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Don't have B.O.
Thank you.
Just a little bit. Beginning of the show.
Yeah, right.
Mike, everybody has B.O.
Yeah, in one way or another.
B.O. is for everybody.
Oh!
Yeah, shake.
Don't need to say that.
Mm-hmm.
See that. You.
Hi, Dennis is Keith.
Watch behind your ears.
Eat a lot.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.